you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson. It is Wednesday, 7:28, almost the end of July. Our normal time is at 7 a.m., but if you want to follow the show, just go to blogtalkradio.com/Brian Hammer Jackson, and then you'll know when we're on. Sometimes we come on at different times. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. If you look at the marquee today, there's just so much to talk about. I couldn't even think of one subject to really key on because there's just way too much to talk about. And we're going to do it. From the Olympics with Simone Biles, to Donald Trump, to the COVID, to transgender. There's just way too much to talk about. And we're going to give it a shot. You ever have too much to talk about and you just don't even know where to start? I know when I start, I'll do the flow, but there's just way too much to talk about. But if you want to come in the studio and you have something on your mind, I don't care who you are, come on in the studio. I want to hear what's on your mind. You know the number because I've been saying it for a long period of time. If you don't know the number, you can see the marquee. That's the number. Call in. I don't have to tell you the number because if you're listening to the show, you probably saw it posted. Come on in the studio. Unless you're on a phone, but if you're on a phone, you still should see the number. Here we go. You know, I'm not a really religious guy. I believe in God. But I'm not really religious. I'm not a spiritual guy. Well, maybe, okay, I'm a spiritual guy. But I'm not a churchgoer, hallelujah person kind of thing. And if you saw the marquee, it says Hammer 96.7 Real Talk. Real talk, less bullshit. Let's have a conversation. Let's hammer this up. But if I was sitting with you at a bar, and I'm sitting next to a person who's like a Jesus person, you know the type. God bless you, everything is God, and Jesus loves you, and blah, 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 blah. Me and my girlfriend was walking down the street. Jehovah's Witness comes towards us. They're holding their little pamphlets. They kind of stop us, and they said, I want to talk to you about Jesus. I go, well, I just talked to him. I talked to him today. Well, why don't you, and they were saying, well, if you talk to Jesus, I'd like to show you the Awake magazine. I go, I don't need your magazine. I just talked to Jesus. I know. And they were kind of dumbfounded. He goes, okay. And then as they walked away, I said, hey, you know what? Jesus loves you. And she goes, well, God bless you. I go, well, yeah, he did. And they're still confused. But if I was a religious person, I'm going to tell you something. Let's say I was having a drink with King. I was having a drink with Latia. And by the way, both of the celebrities are in the studio right now. And we're having a drink, and I know King's religious, and I don't know if Latia is religious or not. But I could see us having that conversation sitting in the lounge in a jazz club. I like to do it. I don't know if King drinks or not, but I would order. I'm setting this scene how it would be. I would order what my drink is. My drink is scotch and seven. It's what I like. Scotch and seven up. I like the fizz. Love to drink. That's what I drink. I don't know what King will order. If I had a guess what King will order, it's like, I can almost say, hey, Brian, yeah, King. You know, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Why don't you order a drink? I go, yeah, you know, I got the waitress here. I'll order a drink. I wouldn't even know what to order, King. I would think to order King, I would say, I would probably say, you know what? Whiskey, I don't think King's a whiskey drinker, so I'll stay from the whiskey. I don't think he's a fruity drinker, so I'll stay away from the fruit drinks, the pineapple, the daiquiris, the margarita. I don't see him doing it. I don't know if he's a beer guy. I mean, I think he could probably have a beer, you know, sociable. I don't think so. I think he's more, I wouldn't even know what to order him. But I would probably say, you know, oh, a Jägermeister. It's a beer, a strong beer. Probably a Jägermeister. I would probably order for King. And Latia's there. And Latia has to go to the bathroom, too. I don't know why King and Latia has to go to the bathroom, but okay, that's fine. So I would order something for Latia. I'm going to order something light and fruity. Maybe a margarita or a daiquiri. Get her going for a little bit, a little vodka. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what I order King too. You know, something like a vodka. You know, something cool like, you know, like something like, you know, P. Diddy has his Stoli vodka. So maybe something, you know, like a vodka thing. Anyway, we're drinking. And then some guy, hippie kind of guy, comes over to the table because nobody else wants to sit with him. And King comes back to me and goes, well, what's the dude doing here? I go, I don't know. I have no idea. Dude sits there. He sits there and goes, hey, guys, what's going on? I go, we don't even know you, dude. But he's sitting there. I go, okay, we're just relaxing. Now what I like to do, then I bring over the waitress and I go, I got to order my cigar. That's what I do. I get my cigar menu, and then I would order my cigar. I said, King, I'm ordering a cigar for King. So I'm ordering a cigar, and I go, Latia, I'm ordering a cigar for Latia. So me, King, and Latia, after smoking our cigars, having our drinks, that's the way it's going to be. That's what I like. That's what I do. I cannot drink without my cigar. And me and King will be looking at Latoya to see how, Latia, to see how Latia is putting that cigar in her mouth and rolling it around in her mouth and big cigar in her mouth. And we're sitting there and watching her smoke the cigar, and King and I would start laughing silently. That's how it would be. But if I start hearing somebody talk about the end of days, before I would probably kick their ass. Now I would listen, because it's going to be hard to debate the end of days, because if you look what's going around you, it's hard to have that debate. I'm going to listen, because I'm going to say, you know what? What's going on in Africa, what's going on in Cuba, what's going on in Germany with the floods and the fire, what's going on in California with the fires and in Canada, people shooting each other in the street in broad daylight, what's going on? And this pandemic thing, it can't be stopped. I'm going to listen to the end of days, and that may have a good conversation there. And we have the people in the studio right now. It's like, here you go, Miss Ellen J's in the studio. Good morning, Ellen. Ellen J's in the studio, everybody. Here's Ellen.
Yep.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And wait a minute, I'm going to do this. If you look at the subject today, today we're just talking, man. There's just too much to say. There's just too much to talk about to even put on the shit. And I know my man King. Now, I know when King gets pissed off. Well, let's just say everybody knows when King gets pissed off. I mean, I even got the – King doesn't just – on my phone, it's not just a notification. King has this notification on my phone that says, okay, King is getting really pissed. You know, there's an alert thing on there going. And then the ringtone on his notification is like, I don't give a fucking damn. I go, ooh. You know what I mean? I got to go to Facebook and find out what's going on. So King has some things on his chest that he needs to get out. So we're going to hear that too. But Ellen, I cannot argue about the end of days, man. We're going to talk about the pandemic. And now Pfizer is talking about a new booster shot. And even the people, even the scientists are going, wait, hold on, Pfizer? This is a little early. What are you doing? Now Pfizer is coming out with a shot with kids who are younger, like 11 years old. Even the scientists are going, what the fuck is going on with you, Pfizer? It's like they're so quick to jump onto this thing. And Pfizer, okay, we got a new booster out with this variant. We're going to talk about that. I'm going, I don't know. And we're going to bring up a lawsuit with Pfizer. I'm looking at them side-eyed now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know. We'll have a talk about that a little later. And then I'm really interested about this Olympics with Simone Biles, man. I got a problem. At first, I started thinking women should not belong in professional sports, but I have a problem. And look at it. Mental illness has a lot to do with it, and we're all crazy. Shut up with the mental illness. Shut up. If you don't have mental illness, you're probably mentally ill because you don't even know it. As far as I'm concerned, everybody has a little touchy-touchy. You know what I mean? They really do. I mean, look at Ellen right there. Say hello, Ellen. If that's not mental illness, I don't know what is. There you go. Good morning, Latia. Beautiful lady, you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sweetheart. Now, if I was going to order you a drink, would I be right? Maybe you're a margarita or a daiquiri kind of girl?
You can get hurt. I hurt you. No, because I don't drink.
You don't drink?
No.
You'll be drinking tonight. What do you mean you don't drink? You never drank before?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, but it ended bad for me, so I don't. Cause now if I'm around like that, I know that's not gonna like mess me over. Then I think about it. But if I'm just at like a party and drinking, give me a Sprite or a water, I'm good.
Really? Well, if you're with me and King, if you're with me and King and Ellen, you're drinking. Now I'm ordering for you. That's right.
No, that one little margarita going to get me pissed because I don't drink.
That's what we're hoping for. Can give you a big giant margarita with a straw. Yeah, baby.
As long as it's good and it tastes like juice, I'm good.
Well, that would be fun. And by the way, the man, and I saved him for last, the King of Kings is here. Your Royal Highness, Mr. King Webb. Good morning, my brother. Good morning, King.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good morning, Ellen. Good morning, Latia. And to all the listeners.
Exactly. We've been getting a lot of listeners. You guys can't see. But normally I'll open the phones up to you guys. Because sometimes I'll open up the phones, trolls will come in. The Joker's been sneaking in once in a while. I don't even mention his name anymore. But lately, the past week, I mean, we've been 14 people deep in this studio, just in the studio alone. I mean, you may not think that's a lot, but that's a lot of people. A lot of them come in at 111 and 111, and I go, you know, I don't want to be bothered. And now what I'm doing is when we go to a commercial or there's a song playing, I'll go to the 111 in private to see if they talk. If they don't talk, I'm Xing them out because I don't need anybody to rock the show. And like I said, King, you know, I put on the marquee, we're talking, man. We're just going to have a talk. There's so much to talk about. Yeah. I know we're going to be talking about Pfizer. We're going to be talking about the end of days. We're going to be talking about the Olympics, mental health. We're going to be talking about women should not belong in sport. We're going to be talking about shit that's on my mind, Donald Trump, what's going on there. The committee with the bullshit there. But, King, you mentioned yesterday that you have something to say. Well, do you still want to say it, or you want to just say, okay, I'm not going to?
Yeah.
Okay?
I don't really know where to start, but you know, I'm gonna start with saying, like, you know, everybody is aware of me being originally from Kansas. You know, that's where my mom and dad is at, you know, my sister and different family. So, you know, we had started planning for me to move back home last year. And, you know, before I could move back home, there were some things they wanted me to take care of, you know. And one of the things they wanted me to take care of is find out if it would be all right for you to remove the kids out of the state, you know. And, of course, I got in touch with a couple of attorneys, and they, you know, pretty much told me what to do, you know. So after that, you know, I mean, we moved forward. And so, you know, while I'm getting ready to move, you know, we do all this planning, and my mom and dad and, you know, my sister and her dude, they was all like, well, you know, when you're ready to come back, let us know and we'll help you. So I said, okay. So, you know, we get to this year, and the plan was they was going to help me move back home. And I told them, I said, I don't want to bring everything, but I want to bring some of the stuff that I have. I said, because, you know, I worked hard for all of this, you know what I mean? Because, you know, and see, back in the day, me and my parents had a real, you know, real bad, you know, we got into it real bad, you know. I mean, we were beefing like Crips and Bloods, you know what I mean? Like, she was going to get real. And what happened was I had me an apartment back home, and I was working at this grocery store. And what happened was, because I talked about a little bit of this when I first came onto your show, but my dad bought me a raggedy-ass car. At least I think it was raggedy, you know, but it was an old-school Chrysler LeBaron rag top, you know, and the brake line wasn't working. So, you know, my thing was like, damn, you know, what you motherfuckers trying to do, kill me? And so I was supposed to be going to work, and I wasn't able to go to work because the brake line was messed up, and I was hoping my parents would have, you know, at least fixed the car, because I told them, you know, because we live around the corner from each other, and I said, well, you know, I could drive y'all car to work, and, you know, every week when I get paid, you know what I mean, y'all could, you know, get my car fixed. So to make the long story short, we had a falling out because I wrecked it. And, you know, she just got out of hand. So I ended up losing my apartment back at home. And everything that I had there, they had, you know, pretty much they threw it out. You know, they let it sit out on this trailer. And my dad had it, and it got rained on. I mean, like, all my stuff, like my graduation cap and gown, all that stuff, you know what I mean? I had over, like, $2,000, $3,000 worth of clothing, you know? Like, all my shit got destroyed. So we're going to go fast forward. So now, you know, I'm here in Phoenix, you know what I mean? And it's like the stuff that I have here in my apartment here is like I want to take some of that with me, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like I work hard to get where I'm at, you know what I mean, to, you know, to build and to, you know, have stuff. And then it's like I got kids too, you know what I mean? What kid doesn't want to have something to remember their dad by? Be like, well, you know, my dad had this, you know what I mean? When I was growing up.
Right.
So, you know, I called U-Haul and I asked to see how much a trailer would be. You know, I think it was like a 9x12 or something like that. And so I called and they said it was going to be around $700-$800. And so I'm like, okay. And so when I told my sister was like, well, shoot, you know, you can use my discount, you know, my military discount. And so I said, all right, cool. And I said, well, you know, the problem is, like, I don't have the money right now. I said, but, you know, I don't have no problem paying the money back. You know what I'm saying? And so it pissed me off because when I told them that price, everybody acted like they were broke. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if I could remember, I remember I had one of my cousins, he was strung out on drugs real bad, and that motherfucker was getting help. People were sending him money. You know what I mean? They was praising him like he was Jesus. And I said, damn, I'm a single dad raising my kids, and I can't get no fucking help coming back home? And originally, I was moving back because I wanted to help my mom and dad out because, you know, I think as a young man or a young daughter, you know, I think it's respectful for us to go back and help our parents, you know, when they get up in age. So I called myself, okay, let me move back so I can help, you know what I mean? And, you know, kids can get close to their, you know, grandma, grandpa, whatnot, you know, woo-woo-woo. So I said, okay, so am I not going to get any help? And so last week, man, my mama called me, and we was talking or whatever. And, you know, she was telling me how an old friend of mine had got a $80,000 contract to work with the city, you know, because he got a cleaning company. So, you know, he works with my dad because, like, my dad manages a couple of buildings and shit downtown back home. And he was working with the guy. And so this dude used to be my friend. Like, I ain't fucked with him in so long. I don't, you know. So my mama cracked the joke and was like, well, you know, maybe when you come back, you can go work with him. I'm thinking back in my head, like, did this motherfucker really just say this shit? Like, I don't fuck with people like that. You know what I'm saying? I think, in the back of my mind, I'm like, did she really just say this shit? I was like, man, that's some slick shit right there. Now, other people going to be like, well, you know, that was helpful. Other people going to look at me like, well, you know, that was helpful. You know what I mean? At least you're trying to say, you know, you're going to work with your friend. But the way I'm looking at it as, if you was my real friend, you'd be reaching out to me. We'd be talking, whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, fuck that shit. So when we got off the phone, I'm going to check my mailbox, and I had got a letter from this apartment out here in Phoenix. And basically the letter was saying that I got approved for a new apartment. And so,
of course,
I put that up on Facebook, and I let people know I'm getting my new place because I think that was good, you know what I mean, compared to where I'm at now. There's a lot of shooting and stuff going on over here. So, you know, I thought that was real cool, you know.
Right.
And so I also looked at it as it was nothing but God blessing me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all this time, I've been trying to move back home. I ain't got no letter. You know what I'm saying? But the minute God started noticing stuff going on, he's like, you know what? I need to keep him here where he's been doing good at. So when I got that letter, I said, man, that was just nothing but God to me. So, you know, of course, I called and talked to my sister about it. And my sister and her dude, you know, actually, no, let me rewind that. I didn't call her. She had her dude call me, you know what I'm saying? And so we all on the phone. And so I told her, I said, look, I said, mama always talking shit. I said, I don't like that shit. I said, one thing about me is I don't like the bullshit. I said, if there's something I'm doing that you don't like, just tell me. Don't go around in circles and use people as scapegoats and all that shit. Just tell me direct. And I said, she's always talking shit. I said, I don't like that, you know. And I said, that's probably one of the reasons why I don't want to move back home because I don't need to deal with none of that, you know. So, you know, we get to talk and whatever. Then my sister brought up a situation that had happened. And I said, wait a minute, why are you even bringing that shit up? I said, that has nothing to do with my current situation. So I looked at that as a red flag along with the other shit as a red flag.
Right.
So I told her, I said, look, I said, I tell you what. I said, I'll go another 10, 20 years or however long without fucking with y'all. That's what I got to do. I said, because I'm not coming back for no drama. I said, when I move back, I want to be able to work. I don't want to deal with no bullshit.
Right.
So obviously she got bothered by it. She got bothered by it, and I really didn't care. So I just hanged up the phone because I'm like, man, I'm about to be talking. You know, I ain't about to be talking. And so obviously, you know, she must have said some things, and my niece had unfriended me. And so I'm like, okay. And so I'm starting to notice another shit. So I was like, oh, you motherfuckers want to be mad because I made the best decision to stay out here and to, you know, think of my kids first, then to move back home, homeless. You know what I mean? Because, see, a lot of people don't understand. When you move, when you're moving, there's two things you're either going to do. You're either going to have your place together, then you can move, or when you move, you ain't gonna have no place, which will mean you are homeless. You know,
right?
And so, I'm not gonna be homeless for nobody. You know what I mean? So, you know, not yesterday, but the day before yesterday, my mom called me, and she was pretty much calling me nosy because I didn't go back home for my grandma's birthday that was over the weekend. And my thing is, I want to bring my no fake-ass people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I don't want to bring my no fake-ass people. You know what I mean? Because that's how family fighting start and all that shit. And I don't have time for that. So, you know, when she called me, we was talking and whatnot, and she was just like, how you and the kids doing? And I said, well, you know, I got the girls' hair done. They'll be ready for school next month. And she was like, what, next month? I said, yeah, we're going to be staying here. They're going to go to school out here. And I said, yeah, I just want to let you know I just got a new apartment. And, you know, the most ignorant shit came out of her mouth, and she was like, because I told her, I said, you know, God bless me with this. So I said, as soon as I got the phone with you, I got this letter in the mail. And she was like, no. She said, no, that's nothing but the devil blessing you with that apartment. Who's to say ain't nothing gonna happen to you? I said, what the fuck? And I'm sitting back in my mind like, wow. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I let her talk her shit. And then when she got done, I said, yeah, this place is owned by a black church. And they own and operate it, you know what I mean? And it's pretty good
right.
property. You know what I mean? And she was like, oh, you know what I mean? Feeling stupid. And so,
right.
you know, my thing is, family can be one of your worst enemies in the world. And it's like me, I'm not going to feed into the shit. You know what I mean? And then too, I feel if family is going to help you, they going to help you. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I've been out here in Phoenix, Arizona by myself. I've been holding it down by myself, and I've been doing a very damn good job. You know what I mean?
Right.
And sometimes when you're doing good, people don't want to see you doing good. So, you know, I made that post yesterday because I just don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? You can either be happy for me or you can be mad or, you know, it don't matter to me. And you know, family going to be family. But me, if you ain't going to fuck with me, I'm not going to be any sad. Hell, I won't even be sad if you went out and got hit by a bus. I won't be sad. You know what I mean? Because when you carry that type of hatred, then that shows the true person in you. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I told myself, I'm like, fuck this shit. You know what I mean? So when you commented, and I said, man, I'm going to expose this shit on the radio show because I'm like, this shit's going, when I make it big, I want everybody to hear this shit. You know what I mean? Because it's like, I'm not going to play. It's like, it don't matter. You should be proud that you have a family member who's raising kids on his own, who is succeeding, you know what I mean, and doing stuff positive. Nah, you want to sit back there and be hating, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and I ain't got time for that, you know what I mean? So my whole attitude is my sister, her dude, my niece, my nephew, the motherfuckers would get hit by a bus today, I would not be sad, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I ain't did shit wrong, you know what I mean?
Right.
I ain't did shit wrong. I thought me upgrading to a better apartment was doing good. So as they say in the South or I forgot who it was that said it, but man, them motherfuckers can eat a dick for all I care. You know what I mean? That's how I feel right now. You know? I mean, you know, like I don't like all that fake ass shit, man. Either gonna be happy for me and fuck with me on the real tip, or you can stay the hell away from me and do you. You know what I mean? But I tell myself I'm not gonna put my focus on that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, family come and go. You know what I'm saying? And it talks about in the Bible how everybody will be at each other's necks and stuff and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And I told myself I'm not even gonna focus on that no more. You know what I mean? You know? And so, you know, shit is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, but the whole sad part about it is, my dad was diagnosed with cancer and shit, and it's like, it's like, I was going to be going home so I could be by his side to help him out, but you got other people who are being ignorant and stuff, and I don't want to be around that shit. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you know, I told my kids, I said, we ain't going back home. I said, we'll go visit, so that's the way we can leave and go as we come. You know what I mean? But just people could be very ignorant. And me personally, I just told myself most times things happen like this when you're on your way to success. You know what I mean? And I understand that too. You know what I mean? But, you know, at first I was hurt, but I wasn't as hurt because it's like it was nothing new. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was really nothing new to me. So, I mean, I'm a man who's been on my own since I was 16 anyway. I mean, I was still living in the household, but you know, my mom was in and out of hospital and whatnot. I was working. I was doing my own thing. So it's like,
right.
you know, me and my sister get treated different, you know what I mean? I mean,
mm-hmm.
if, I mean, like I said, they run her quicker than they run to me. So, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care about none of that shit, you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm covered by God. God, when God leads, I follow. So at the end
mm-hmm.
of the day, you know, this whole shit is just, it's ridiculous, you know what I mean? But, you know, a lot of people, I went live on Instagram with this shit. And a lot of people was couldn't believe what they heard. And I said, yeah. I said, it's real out here in the world. I said, it's a lot of crazy shit going on. And that's the reason
right.
why I really stated myself a lot, because people can be so evil, man. You know what I mean? And me, I don't want to
sure.
be evil. I'm not going to fight evil with evil. You know what I mean? Because that's not the way I was raised. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to do that. If you want to be evil on your own time. You know what I'm saying? But,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, you know, a lot of people probably listening right now like, damn, that's some fucked up shit. You know what I mean? This is some fucked up shit, but you know what? I always feel people who get sick and have an illness, that's the way of God trying to humble them and let them realize you need to settle down. You need to sit down and whatnot, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm.
you know, my sister, she got lupus. She got an aneurysm
mm-hmm.
going on, and it's like, you know, you're doing all this
mm-hmm.
evil shit. Haven't you realized that God is trying to have your ass be humble? Think about what you're
mm-hmm.
doing, but... Not everybody look at it that way, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a believer, you know what I mean? I'm not too spiritual,
right.
but I try to, you know, I'm in the Word, and I understand a lot of things, and, you know, I got on this Bible study last night, and I prayed, and I'm like, you know what? You know, God, forgive me if I was did anything wrong. And it's just, the only thing I'm getting is I didn't do anything wrong, you know what I mean? Sometimes you have to ignore ignorant people, and you got to ignore stupidity. And so I told myself that's what I'm going to do, you know what I mean? But I unfriended a lot of family yesterday, and I'm like, man, I don't care what happens to y'all because they ain't got nothing to do with me and mine, you know? So, but, yeah, that's about all I got to say, you know what I mean? It's just, it's crazy, man.
You know, it never worked. I did that. 24, living on my own since 17. I had a studio apartment,
yeah.
still a senior in
yeah.
high school.
Yep.
Did my homework, worked at a restaurant, paid my rent, I was on my own. Now times happen, things happen, you know, so now I'm 24,
yeah.
I need a place to
yep.
stay, I'm trying to get into acting, you move home, right? And then you're thinking, you're moving home, and worst thing in my life, you know, love my mama, love my family, love everything, but they still treat you like a child. It's their rules.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
their freaking rules, man. And then you remember why you moved out in the first place. You know, don't do this. Wash your hands. Come
yeah.
and eat here. Where's the dishes? What's going on? It is like, where are you going? I'm going out. When you come, it is. I remember it's like, this is why I moved out. I know your situation with the drama, but then again, when you move back in, if you got brothers and sisters, forget it, man. That's when the drama. Why are you back at Mama's house? Mama told me you did
yeah.
this and everything. Why can't you be here?
Yeah.
You're upsetting Mama. You know how old she, you know. That bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm saying
yeah.
I know what you're feeling. I know what you're feeling, man, and I've been there. And I seen Ellen. She was supporting you on a post. Ellen, you were supporting King about
yeah.
that. In fact, here's what Ellen wrote. I'm writing it down right here because Ellen's on record. So King was talking, and then, you know, Ellen got into the business. You know, King has something on his chest, you know, and I said, yeah, and out of nowhere – I can't find it, but I'm going to paraphrase it. So Ellen goes, I can't believe anybody's going to keep you do this for your children. I'm going, wow, what did Ellen come into? Who invited Ellen? I have something to say. I'm going, damn. And Ellen, you saw the post. You saw the post.
Yes.
And I saw what you like.
Yes.
So what do you think about that situation? Seriously, you heard King.
I think it's a bunch of messed up fucking shit. You know, your family, a family is supposed to support each other, not bring each other down and say, you know, but you can always tell, you know, people, regardless if it's family or not, they're supposed to be with you through all the times, not just the good times, you know,
yes.
all of it, through the bad times too. But
yep.
you watch, King, I guarantee you that the minute that you start making your millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
everybody's going to be coming out of the woodwork.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you, the sad part about all this, is that, like I said before, and I'm going to keep saying it, when I make it, I want to make sure that the Brian Hammer Radio Show has a place in my with whatever I'm doing. And the sad part is, they're gonna be like, "Damn, he's so much into them. What about us?" Well, you know, the way I'm looking at it right now, and the way that I feel, you all have been more of a family to me than my own. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if Latia's on the phone, but I've been knowing that
she's
girl
here
for a long time, and she will tell you, she done been through. She been through that with me through thick and thin. You know, and a real friend's gonna stick by you. You know what I mean? She done been. She been there. Like, she done seen a whole lot of shit that went on. And you know, it's just the part of life, you know what I mean? You're gonna have your good family, you're gonna have your bad family, you have your good friends, you're gonna have your bad friends, but it is fucked up, you know what I mean? But that's exactly what's gonna happen. When I start making the millions, everybody gonna be wanting to know me. That's actually what happened this year. You know what I mean? This year everybody started tapping in with me because I got an article in This Is 50, then I got an article in The Source. And then everybody was just really trying to support me when they was never supporting me before. You know what I mean? Hell, my mom, she just started liking my music. You know what I mean? Because my nephew was showing her. You know what I mean? But
right.
You know, so that's what's gonna happen. But I'm gonna maintain my humbleness. I'm still gonna maintain being respectful, because one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to be walking around with a stony heart, having hatred towards anybody. And so I told myself, I'm going to let go and let God. I'm going to let them do them, and I'm going to do me and go that way, because sometimes you have to move on. But what I told myself is, the beef isn't really with my mom or dad, so I'm still going to be talking to them. The beef was with my sister, because it's like, you're mad, but you wasn't about to help me move home. You know what I mean? You was pussyfooting around, bushing around the bush, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so y'all agree. Soon as I make it, yeah, everybody going to want to come out the woodwork. Like, oh, I know him. That's my cousin. Oh, that's my brother. Man, look here. I don't know who, you know, TMZ, I don't know who them fuckers are. Well, before you're from TMZ, King Webb says he doesn't know who those fuckers are. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit. I mean, that's the reason why I try to dedicate myself to my fans more, you know what I mean? Because they have been through, man, a lot of people been there with me through thick and thin. So, you know, it's good. But, yeah, man, it's sad. But it is what it is. Life goes on, you know?
And here's King being humble, because I am going to read the post, which generated Ellen's outburst. And this is King being very humble.
I'm sorry, King.
No, this is King's post. If you haven't seen King's post, this is King's post. And this is King being humble. Motherfuckers! Motherfuckers! You want to unfriend me because I choose not to move back home? Well, then, fuck you! King's being very humble now. And fuck you too, because I don't care at all how you feel. Anyone want to do the same thing? Go ahead, shaking my head. Hell, I would even help you unfriend yourself for you. I got kids to worry about, and they are my focus, and that is true. That's 100% true. And then when Ellen ingratiated herself, and she, I just go, whoa, Ellen got in here. So Ellen decides to reply. And Ellen says, wait a minute, she's here. Did you, where is Ellen? I just tried. Oh, here she is. Here's Ellen. Wow. Wow. And she says, I can't believe they would fault you for doing what is best for your kids, shaking my head. And then she got a lot of love. She got some love from me and King. And Latia. Latia looked at it and going, who's the white girl? No, she didn't say that. But she got some love there. And I like Anthony. Anthony D. Young. And Anthony D. Young was on the show. I like him very much. And King works with him a lot with the marketing promotion. And he said something that was very interesting. He says, fuck them fakes, bro. You know? and God unfriend you because you're making a decision the best for your kids, I understand, you know. He got his friends. He got his friends. Now, Latia has been with King and knows King for a while, and she's right here. So, Latia, would you like to say something about what's going on? Because, you know, right now, King's going through some stuff. He's on the edge right now of being blockbuster, breaking out, and he doesn't need this shit. And he wanted to go home just to take care of his family, and all of a sudden he's getting this static. What do you think, Latia? You know King more than I do.
Well, to be honest, like I said, at the end of the day, now,
right.
Don't get me wrong, my mama can get slick too, but my mama always said, never allow anybody to really get under your skin if you know you're doing the right thing. And like I told him, yes, she was wrong. You know, him and his mom was his sister and his mom was wrong for what they said, but like I told him, I was like, look, you know what you got to do. You got to do the best for you and your kids. And, yeah, he had real good intentions on going home, making sure his dad was good and everything like that. The things his sister said, you know, it made me feel some type of way because I'm like, how can a sister say this to her brother? Because, you know, like, he's moving from a whole other state. It's not like he's moving around the corner or he's
right.
already back at home just moving to another place. So it's like she got to understand from his point of view too. But she don't want to. She want to be stuck in her ways. She want to, you know, say her little slick stuff and think he ain't going to say nothing. Because if you say something to him and it's not the right thing and you say it sideways, he going to let you know, like, look, you ain't going to sit here and walk over you. And I think that's the best way to be. But when he told me that he got that letter in the mail, I was like, that's just a blessing in disguise. I said, because he sees, you know, what your family doing. Like, he sees, you know, the thing he's saying and the thing his mama said, because that's hurtful for a mother to say to her child anyway. Like, why would you say something like that to your baby? You know, regardless of how old he is, that's still going to be her baby. But mothers need to also know there's certain things you just can't say and think your kids ain't going to come back at you. Because she got to know her place just as well as he do. Like he said, he was being respectful. But I don't understand why parents feel like they can just be disrespectful and provoke their kids and think we ain't going to come back on y'all.
Right.
But, you know, like I told him, I said, I'm always
there. Yeah, and then they say that we're being disrespectful little bastards and bitches.
Oh, Miss Ellie, you said it. Like, my mama told me this yesterday, because she made me mad. So she hit my son, right? Now, mind you, I don't care about my kids. So I was like, don't hit him on his back like that. If you don't want me to hit my son on his back, you can't hit him on his back. She was like, you can't question me. I say, just like you can't question me. How you don't want me to question you, but when you hit my son, you question, like, if I hit him, the way I hit at him, she would question him, like, well, don't hit my grandmother like that. I'm like, okay, now you see how I feel when you hit him, and I ask you, why did you hit him like that? So that's why I be trying to tell her, like, look, you know I don't like you to hit him this certain way, and you know you don't like for me to hit him this certain way, so if you don't do it, I won't say nothing. But I already told him.
I have to remind people, I said, you know, respect is a two-way street. You want respect, you got to give respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, and it doesn't matter who it doesn't matter who it is, okay?
Well,
you know, especially
I don't know about
if we're grown adults.
Well, no, I'm gonna put a flag there. Wait, I understand. Normally, you're right, Ellen, 100% right. But when you're dealing with your mama, there's a total different thing with respect because, you know, whether it's right or wrong, she's going to always think of you as the baby. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how old, whatever. You're always going to be her child. And she's going to always treat you that way. I give her a curve. You know what I mean? It's hard for her
really?
To look at
I don't give parents a curve, especially when they're,
have
you
to.
Know.
It's hard for her to look at you as a grown-ass man. She's always going to look at you as her baby. And if you're doing things right, and making sure that Mama has the right way to do it, and I'm still teaching you, and it's like, Mama, I'm a grown-ass man. I'm a grown-ass woman now. It's like, that's right, baby. Now go make up your room and make sure your room's clean and be here at dinner at 5 o'clock. You know, I have to give the curve. I don't know, but go ahead.
But
it's your mama. I'm sorry. I'm a mama's boy. I'm a grown-ass man, even at 35. My mom will say to me, now, did you eat and everything? Yes, Mom, I did eat. Did you, you know, you said the same thing. Now, you haven't been drinking, have you? And I was drunk on the phone. No. I hear you drinking. Okay. But I don't think respect is a two-way thing when it comes to your mom or your dad. I don't think they respect you as a grown-up.
I don't think so.
I don't. They're going to always look at you as the child.
Brian, you want to get an answer? Ask Cindy if she thinks respect is a two-way street. She's got two grown kids.
She doesn't know what respect is. R-E-S-P-C-P-T. That's what it means to me. When it comes to your mama and it comes to that, I don't think there is a respect. I think there is.
Yeah,
still
I mean,
go ahead.
I don't think there is a two-way. I think we should respect our parents, but I also feel we're entitled to an opinion because at the end of the day, a parent can tell you, now, I don't think you should do that, but if you know in your own right mind that what they're telling you is not correct, you know, I believe you're entitled to be like, well, you know what? I don't agree with that. I think I need to do what's the right way. You know what I mean? I mean, and that's how I've been doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, if my parents tell me something, I'm going to make sure that it's the right thing. But if I know what they're telling me ain't correct, I'm just going to be like, well, you know what? I don't know about that. But if I knew about it, then I would do it. But right now, I can't just do that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, all while we were planning for me to move back home, they were wanting me to do different things. And I kept telling them, I said, you have to get out of that mind state thinking that everybody is the same. I said, you can't just jump head first and say, well, you know, you should do this and do that. I said, let's get in the mind state, everybody, and understand that I have children to think about. So any decision that I make and anything that I do, it can affect me or it can make things good. You know what I mean? And they was like, you know what? You're right. You're right. And I was like, damn, you're good. And I said, no, I'm not good. I said, I just have to learn how to think better. You know what I mean? And so, you know, again, I believe we should respect our parents, but as far as the two-way street thing go, I don't, you know, we should respect our parents, but we should be entitled to an opinion of our own. That's right. I mean, but you know what? I mean, I guess that would be right if we had a two-way street. I mean,
King, no, your parents letting you have your own opinion, that's, you know, that's respect too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there comes a point in your children's lives when you have to cut the apron strings and let them go out in the world and make their own mistakes. Because if you don't, then they'll never learn how to stand on their own two feet.
I don't know what world y'all live in. I don't know. I wish I could live that world. I'm going to tell you something. When King made me laugh when he says, I have an opinion. You never have an opinion with your parents. It's like,
wow.
I remember I said the same thing. I was thinking like King, like, I'm a grown-ass man. I have an opinion. And that's what happened to me once. I'm 19 years old. I'm in UCLA. I'm in football. I'm going to be the star running back. I'm buffed everything, man, 6'2". And I go to my dad, visit my dad for the summer. And he said something. And then I said, well, Dad, I have an opinion. He goes, you got a what? I got an opinion. I just got done telling you what your opinion was, boy. Why are you trying to sass me? I go, you cannot tell me what my opinion is. I just got done telling you what your opinion is. I started laughing, King, because I said, well, I like to tell you what I think. I just got done telling you what you think. I go, no, you didn't. Mm. I'm a grown-ass man at 19.
Okay,
I'm going to university.
So what would you do if your mama...
And I'm just trying to... I said, then he had the nerve. I swear to God, it happened. I go, I do have something to say. He goes, all right, you're talking back to your dad? I go, yeah, I'm talking back to my dad. I got something to say. All right, that's it. You're going to get a beating. I swear to God. I go, I'm going to get what? And he started to take off his belt. I'm 19 years old. You know what I mean? I've been lifting weights since 16. You know? I mean, I'm buff.
My father always threatens to beat my ass.
He did.
Even now.
I go, are you kidding me? He goes, you're in my house. And it's the same thing. You're in my house, and I'm going to tell you what you think, and that's good for you because you can't think because you're not so bright. I go, you know what? I'm leaving. You go, yeah, that's right. Get out of my house. I'm out. And my dad never says I'm sorry or anything like that shit, but what he does is he bribes the kids ever since we were a kid. Like, he'll give us a bean, and then later on he'll sleep in the middle of the night and give us $10. That's what he does. here's $10. That's what he does.
It's like he's giving you hush money not to tell anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
So I leave the house, and he goes, don't you ever come back. I go, I ain't coming back here. I'm playing football. I'm going pro. I'm never going to see your stupid ass. Did you say stupid ass to your father? You swear to your father? Where's my belt? I go, you left your belt in the house, you old man. And then I'm in my car. I'm in my car. Yeah. I'm in my car. I'm ready to drive off. And then he goes, hey, roll down the window here. And I roll down the window. He goes, here's $50. Thanks, Dad. All right, you be safe here. I'll be watching you on TV. And get out of my house. Bye, Dad.
Oh, wow.
That's the family I had. We got paid.
My mom is threatening to beat my ass every day.
I'm
the one that turns around, Ma, you're coming over for dinner today.
I just don't know. I think you have to give a curve to your parents. I don't think.
Yeah.
I know you're grown. They know you're grown.
Yeah.
They still, once you're a parent, you're always going to be a parent. And I don't think, see, when people go, well, you got to respect my opinion. And then you're saying to the parent, well, we're on the same level now. You're my peer or I'm a grown-ass man and we have to compromise and you have to do it my. I think. It's kind of a disrespect thing if in the South. I hear what you're saying, but I know they're wrong. Sometimes you just have to say, uh-huh, okay. Because they're always going to look at you as Avis. They're always going to look at you like Latia. They're always and then the grandparents, I feel sorry for Latia, because the grandparents tend to take over the baby and started raising the baby as their own, and then they don't respect the mother because the mother's saying, uh-uh, I don't want my baby to have this. I don't want my baby to go to bed at night. You're at my house, and she's going to do it. And then when your back is turned, they start raising the baby like they tried to raise you. And I'm seeing you may have that problem, right, Latia? I don't know. I think you have to give a curve.
Okay, so basically, I can hit them for their mind. But if she like sitting at the table or whatever she doing, and I hit them, what you hitting them for? Like, why you gotta question me on what I hit my child? Like I told her last night. Like, look, I say, yeah, you raised me and all that stuff. You ain't kill me and stuff. But if you don't want me to hit my son in an area that you done hit him at, then don't question me. Oh, I'm sorry, Mommy. But, so, we done arguing, right? And she still be talking about it. I'm like, okay, is you done? Like, is you going to keep bragging about it or you just going to be quiet? So she's like, what you say? And I'm like, all right, Mom, I'm done. And then she'll keep talking. I'm like, oh, my God, okay, Mom. And then she'll be like, don't say okay because that's just going to make me mad. And I'm like, I'd rather say okay than say something that I'm going to regret. She's like, okay, like she, I'm telling you, she do that to make me say something. And then when I say, and she be like, oh, can you move out of her way? She's like, all you is just disrespectful. And I'm like, that's
right.
My favorite word to say. I mean, it's disrespectful. Like that's all she say. And then my aunties, they love to have an opinion. I'm like, do y'all do for my kids? Do y'all do for me? Like, why y'all always have my son? Oh, Tia don't need this, Tia don't need that. I'm human just like y'all. I need money just like y'all do. Talking about, oh, your mama do this, mama do that. My mama choose to do that. I don't ask her to help me take care of my baby. She chooses to do that. I'm not
crippled. That's the thing that pisses me off, too. Okay, they expect you, it come back at you, well, I did this for you. I didn't ask you to do that for me.
Exactly.
You chose to do that on your own.
That's what I told him. I was like, I love you and all, but if you're going to sit here and talk and argue while you on the phone with your aunties, then I'm not going to talk to you because they love to say, well, you need to stop to your mama. How when y'all always got in the... Like I told her, I said, I'm a mother now, mama. I'm not 10 or 12 years old like I was, you know, back in those years. I say, you have to allow me to discipline them because if you're going to always save Amir going to feel like, well, if mommy hit me, I'm just going to go to my grandma because she's going to save me. No, because it's going to be a point of time when we're going to be on our own and he's going to have to mommy. And she don't understand that. My uncle told her that.
Right.
And like you tell her, mama, Amir is 2 years old. He's going to be three. I'm trying to get him to understand and to really, like, understand what I'm saying because if I tell Amir, no, Amir, don't hit sister. Be nice to sister. He'll still go and hit her, and then my mom like, well, didn't your mama just say? And I'm like, how you expecting him to listen to me if you always saying, Amir, don't do this. I'm a papa. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then when I said, he just look at me and laugh like I'm funny. So it's like, that's why me and her always bumping heads because I'm like, mama, like, I have kids now. Like, let me be their mother. Like, stop always trying to, like, be their mama. Like, okay, you my mama. Just let me be there. But she don't do that.
Right.
And that's why I always be arguing. I'll be like, all right, you know what? That would be making me really want to pack my bags and just leave. And I'll leave
Yeah. And again, you guys are right, but I'm just saying, King, I feel for you, man. I do. But I already know where your heart is. You'll do anything for your parents and anything for your family. I know where your heart is. It's annoying. You don't need the bullshit. You don't need the fucking drama.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need people in your business telling you if you make the right decision or the wrong decision. Right now, you need family support. That's all you're asking. And I learned it, you know? But it's hard. Yeah, I know he does. But I'm going to have to be against you guys. I'm a grown-ass man, but when it comes to the mama, I'm going to have to go to the other side saying there is no two-way respect. There's only one. You respect her, done. And understand that.
Oh, yeah.
You're right, and I do. But she always provoking me. She always got something else to say.
They will.
Yeah.
They will. They could.
And then you deserve it. Get what she want out of it. That's when she say, "Why you gotta be so disrespectful?" That's why I don't do nothing for you. One thing I worry about is my grandkids, cause y'all just so disrespectful. I never would disrespect with them. I'm like, mom, what is you crying for? Like you the one made me say what I said because you kept saying what you wanted to say. I'm like, all right, mom. She loves you.
Again, you know, like that love is there. She's just trying to do the best she can, but I guess she raised you once, and she's looking at you, say, "I'm proud of who you became." So let me try the baby. You know, let me try my grandbaby. Look how well you turned out. I'm not doing such a bad job, right?
I'm not gonna lie. But
some parents got to realize that when you have kids, like for example, I have kids, and so. You know, the grandparent be wanting to do it all over again. And it's like, no. You raised me. If you're not happy the way you raised me, then you should have made better decisions. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, for me, you know, when I went home last year, you know, my mom was trying to, you know, tell me how to deal with my kids or whatever. And I said, okay. I said, what is it that you're needing? I said, let's start out with the communication. What is it that you're needing? And so, you know, it was smosh, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? I said, no. I said, nuh-uh. I said, look here, no. You know what I mean? Because, you know, she was trying to teach my kids about Christmas and all that shit. And I said, wait a minute. I said, show me in that damn Bible where it talks about anything about a fucking Christmas tree. I said, show me. So I told her, I said, I don't want my kids being instilled in fucking lies and that man made bullshit. I said, yeah, that's fun and all. I said, but I don't want them learning, you know, growing up thinking, oh, Santa was real. I said, fuck that shit. I said, now, didn't you tell me and my sister when we were growing up that you didn't like lying? I said, now, what do you think you're doing? Lying, right? And that stopped that shit. And she was like, well. Yeah. I said, okay. So, you know, when we have kids, parents can't raise the grandchildren like it's their own and think that, oh, well, I'm going to raise them like this because I couldn't do it. No. Right. You know what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, man, look, I feel sorry for a lot of grandparents these days because a lot of them don't have a good bond or relationship with their grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? Because,
right.
You know, for me, what I'm going to say is my mom grew up in a broken home. I mean, the home was so broken, my grandma took her shotgun and tried to shoot my grandpa. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, look, I come from a crazy family, you know what I'm saying? You know? And so that's why, like I said, when you come from a broken family, and my
right.
mom come from a broken family,
right.
you have to look at it like this. The person that come from a broken family, their
mm-hmm.
upbringing and their ways are going to be a lot different than the other person. Because like my dad,
that's true.
You know, his mom, my dad, my granny and papa, they were different, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's just crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like, but
it is.
I don't know, it's crazy. But
there's
I do feel
people
we
don't
should.
Kids.
Yeah.
Like, they don't never say, oh, you're being such a great parent or a great mom. I see you trying. Man,
right.
Yeah, my mama said, see, my mama ain't never said, Tia, you're doing a good job raising your kids.
Oh, man,
I was on my back in that.
Wow.
She has
now you
never.
Let me talk, wow. You let me talk to your mama, Latia. You let me talk to her. Let me at her. I'll correct her. For real. Get her. Where's your mama? I'll tell her what a great person you are and a great daughter. She should know this.
Yep.
For real, I'm not lying,
yep.
y'all. Like, I get so overwhelmed, y'all. Y'all don't understand. I legit, my son make me so mad. I legit want to fight him like he a real nigga in the street. That's just how bad it gets. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to let you do it on your own. Like, it gets overwhelming because I don't have help. But sometimes I be like, mama, can you just, like, just get them for a minute, please. But she don't do that. So it's like, I'm doing this all on my own. And then
right.
you get mad at me when I discipline.
You just
I'm
want
like,
a little
oh,
credit,
I'm...
man. Like, you did a good job. You know what I'm saying? You just want a
yeah.
little credit. I hear what you're saying.
Like, she will never say, Shay, you know what? I've been seeing you, you know, since you had a man, you've been doing a good job. Now that you got a Zion, you know what I'm saying? You're doing a good job. That lady will never. The only thing come out of her mouth was, I'm being disrespectful. That's it. I'm the most respectful child in her life. That's what she might say. That's what she said. But out of all, I promise y'all, out of all of her kids, I will give this lady my last. If my mama says she hungry and I know I got some money and it ain't nothing to eat in this house, man, I wouldn't give her a dang. My mama and my kids don't eat. Like, that's
right.
off with. Like, no.
Right.
But, you know.
Right.
Because one day she gonna be like, dang, you did this by yourself,
well,
Shay.
You know, one day you guys are all going to remember, and I know how annoying this is, but one day you can all remember, like, this is nothing compared to when they're leaving this world and where they're able to say that shit. I and it happens. You know, my father was the biggest badass motherfucker I've ever met. I mean, I don't back down to no man, no thing. You give me two legs, I'm going head-to-head with you. I may lose, but you're going to lose some ribs and something's going to happen to you. But this man was the baddest motherfucker on the planet, and he did a lot of bad stuff. And then one day he was in the hospital, and I saw the tubes in him, and he was so weak and everything. And first thing, you know, my sister said, are you going to visit Dan? I go, no, I hope he died. He goes, don't be thinking that way. And so I said, maybe I could visit him and pull the plug out. And that's the only reason I went to the hospital. Maybe I can get away with murder. Because there was a thought. But I go in there, and I see this man. And
God.
Well, it's true. I didn't even recognize this man. I mean, he was weak and he was small, and you know, because I haven't seen him in a while. And he was scared, and I never saw him scared. And he was telling me, you know, about I raised you kids wrong, and I appreciate what you did. And I just heard, I wonder if I can reach that cord before he wakes up while he's still talking. You know what I mean? Just to pull it. I don't want to really kill him, just to make him, you know,
suffer for a little bit. You know, I'll put the plug back in before he dies. Come on. No, I thought that's how I thought. But then he started saying all these good things, and I didn't think it was in him. And then you just realize that after all that bullshit, none of that shit matters. You know, all of a sudden, none of that shit mattered, the stupid shit he used to say or the stupid things he used to do. None of that mattered at that point, and then they're gone. And I know right now it irritates you, but this is all they know how to do. If this is all they know how to do, and this is all they know how to raise because they don't know any better, and that's all they got, you start thinking, you go ahead and do what you need to do, and you say, okay, it's disrespectful if I talk back to you. Guess what? I'm in your house. Okay. I'm going to be out of your house soon, and you'll be living with me, and then I'll be saying that shit to you. But right now, you know what? Okay. It just gives me more energy to get the fuck away from you, you know? And I hear you when you're having it, when you're going through this shit. It's annoying and it's disrespectful. You can't say shit because it's disrespectful. It's like I'm 15 again. Well, just remember where you are. And when you get out, that's cool. But just be thankful that the Lord blesses you. You got a roof over your head and you got family, because I still think that mama will protect you. If something went wrong with you or the grandbaby, she'd be the first one there, and she would probably protect you with her life. Yeah. And you can ask yourself that, and I guarantee you she is. I talked to your mama. Yeah, I did, baby. Yeah. Yes, I did. I talked to your grandma. I sure did. And she seemed like a God-fearing lady, and I'm saying, hang in there, kid.
Well,
just hang in there.
Every now and then when I talk to Latia, I tell her, you know, she's a good mom. And sometimes when we, you know, when we're video chatting or on live together, sometimes I tell her in front of her mama, and her mama just be, you know, all in the phone being nosy. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I just say what I feel, you know what I mean, how I feel, you know. And, you know, like she's right. She should be told that she's a good mom, you know what I mean, because most people can't do it. Most people can't even do two kids, you know, but she's been doing a real good job. And You know, she just gotta focus on them, you know what I mean? And the sad part is don't use your energy, you know, the energy while you being mad. Don't use that energy to take it out on them, you know what I mean? You just gotta stay focused, because I'm gonna be honest with you, man, there's a lot of crazy things going on in this world right now. And
it,
you know, the last thing you wanna do the last thing you wanna do is black out. And you end up having the kids, and it'll be an accident, you know what I mean, because you're mad at your mom or whatever else. So, you know, and I'm going to tell you like this. My parents have not been there for me like that since I've had my kids, you know. I have to make a fucking apology to their ass before they started back fucking with me and my kids. So at the end of the day, my parents can't say nothing about, oh, we've helped Junior with this. We helped David with that. We helped King Webb with that. They can't say shit, because I've been doing it all on my own, you know. So, you know, like I said, with your story, it's different. Me, you know, now to look good, they tell their people, their friends, whoever, oh, my son's doing a good job raising his kids by himself. And yeah, now you talking that. But before, you know what I'm saying, it wasn't like that. Shit, I just started back talking to my parents back in what? 2015, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, I hate to say it this way, but, you know, if they was to die, I'll go to that funeral and I'll bring my ass right back to Arizona. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, I mean, it's just one of them things where, you know, like I told everybody, when you're close to God and have a relationship with God, when you know that you are right, you're not going to worry about that nonsense, because it's like, okay, life goes on, you know what I mean? So, I mean, but, you know, you're doing a good job, and just keep at it, you know?
Yeah, because
I almost blacked out. I found myself punching the mirror in his arm, and I was like, whoa, like, and he was crying, and I really didn't care that he was crying. I was like, boy, shut up, you don't need to cry. So I had to, like, calm myself down, and I had to apologize, because I'm like, mommy got too mad, and I did not mean to hit you, you know, the way that I did, because... You know, like I said, mommy doing this by herself. Like, you know, the thing that happened for you to be here, like, you know, I'm sorry you don't have a dad, but, you know, mommy trying. And, like, I ain't going to cry, y'all made me cry, because he was like, you know, okay, mommy, love you. So Amir barely say love you. So for him to say he loved me, I was like, oh, you made me feel good. So it's like I'm trying, you know, to be calm and just think before I react because I don't want him to feel like,
yeah,
well, all my mommy
just hit me.
And I don't want my son to feel like that. So, you know, I'm trying. It's getting better.
Yeah. And I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this. I'm not no Bible scholar or nothing like that, but do you believe that sometimes the devil will use your children to upset you?
Yeah, I do. Ooh, I believe that too because
it'll
be that Amir would that he know will make me mad and that would really get me upset. And he would, I'm telling y'all, he will continue to do it just to see what I'm gonna do. So it's like, like I try not to like get as mad, you know, just for him to see my reaction. So it's like, I'd be like, okay, okay, you better stop before you get beat. And yesterday, my mom was like, don't tell him you're going to punch him in his face. And I'm like, did I actually say I'm going to actually hit my son in his face? And I'm like, if I wanted to hit him in his face, I clearly would have hit him in his face if I wanted to. And I'm like, well, I'm not stupid. I'm not going to sit here and abuse my son. Like, I'm not going to do that. So it's like, little things like that, she be saying, I'm like, come on, man. Like, I know I'm not going to sit there and hurt my child. I don't know. I'm not going to do that. So, you know, it's all right.
I think you're doing a good job, but I do think you need a night of freaky sex. You need a weekend of freaky sex. You need to work out that energy. I really do.
Ellen has a store where you can buy sex toys.
They go in a place that you would not think they would go, and they would find, they would like,
Latia, what kind of freaky shit are you into? I have it all, from mild to wild and triple X.
Oh, here we go.
My mom would be like, why you all up in your feelings? I'm like, come on.
Thank you, King. King, I have freaky shit for you, too, if you're into that kind of shit.
Yeah, the fucking pussy half off, King.
All right.
I
need to see how much one of them fleshlights are.
That's right.
I don't have that. I have the, you know.
Oh.
I have the freaky geeky.
Like, I need 50.
Oh.
What?
She told me I need to get the rose.
Okay.
Oh,
it's
the
like,
rose.
It's like a vibrator.
Yeah, you can vibrate it. Yeah, you can vibrate it on your,
And she was saying it's another thing. It has a little tongue on it. I was like, girl, I don't know anything about these things.
I have Latia, if you're into really, really freaky, I have a thing that hooks up to the computer, and it's remote control.
What? Oh man, I'm old school. I have no idea what's going on with your technology, your freaky technology. I'm old school.
I know. I have 50 Shades of Grey shit.
Shit. I mean, you sound like you got. You sound like the girl at the club in the car is like, Latia be going to a club and you go, hey, girl, come here. And you go, what do you want? Come here. And then you open up the trunk. I got what you need. What do you want? You want the booty smacker? You want the Kong dildo? I got the vibrator, girl. You go, what the hell is that?
I didn't even know dildos have vibrators.
Well,
they're two different things, Latia. A dildo is just a phallic symbol. It don't do nothing except, you know, make you feel good. A vibrator. I have one that has 12 speeds.
Oh, for God's sake.
So my cousin says she got the dildo, but it's the vibrator. I was like, girl, she was like, it can even get hot for me. I was like, oh my goodness.
Now I got one speed, and that's go. That's it. You need no 12 speed. Let me come back. You know what? We don't need no 12 speed. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine some girl saying, hey, y'all, you're just stuck in second gear. Can you kind of go, you know, boost it up a little bit? Girl, I'm trying to do the best I can. My back's hurt.
Somehow it'd be difficult.
Okay, look, Latia, if you're not into the freaky deaky sex toys, I got some books that you can read that'll turn you on even more.
I used to read books like that.
Yeah, you can get my audio book.
Right, you know I got to plug my books.
Yeah, you do. Go ahead and plug your book because the book's bugging you. Go ahead.
Which book would you like to know about? I got four of them coming out. I got my erotic suspense.
Do it got a lot of scenes in it?
Huh?
Do it have a lot of scenes in it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I need that book.
Which one? All four. Well, actually, all six of them are going to have a lot of scenes in them.
Well, I need all of them, then.
My books are going to have a little bit of everything, Latia. They're going to have freaky deaky sex. They're going to have murder. They're going to have lust. They're going to have obsession. They're going to have stalking. So
yes.
You get the whole gambit when you read my book.
Yeah, I was with this bull, and she was a stripper, right? And she was messing with this dealer. And she was like, no, I don't want to mess with you anymore. I'm like, man, don't get mad. And he was like, you need me because I can take care of you. And she was like, what? So basically, like, then I have sex and all that stuff, and I was like, well, this is a... And then he used to legit, like, kill... He killed her and everything. She was like, why did you do this to me? It was a good book, though. It had a lot of good scenes in it. It's my kind of book.
Wow.
Brian,
you know,
Brian,
on this show.
My books are going to have freaky deaky sex like Empire. I still never forget the line that Ghost said when he was talking to that guy out in the loading dock. The guy says, I ain't afraid to die. And Ghost turns around and says, good, because I ain't afraid to kill your ass. Okay. That is my most favorite line.
Right.
Yeah, he has a new movie coming out too. He's on. I talked to him when I was in Alaska. I talked to him when I was in Alaska. See what he was doing, Omari. And he asked what I was doing and blah blah blah. He may come on the show. Let's just say he might come on the show. I think
it'll be fun. Well, you know what? He never messaged me to tell me hi.
Well, that's because
I'm
you're
mad
selling.
At him.
Selling a dildo and strap-ons, he's probably afraid of you.
Really?
But,
really?
Well, hopefully he'll come on. I'll talk to him.
Like $34 on Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? What?
They be so much on Amazon? Like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah, they sell it on Amazon everywhere. Those dildos
yep.
and those sex...
Yep.
But, you know, it's funny because now we're into an hour of the show, so I guess I got to do a show now. You never know who's listening.
I thought we were doing a show.
I got some stuff I want to really get off my chest. But you never know, and it's true. You never know who's listening to the show. I don't know. There's a lot of people who are listening. They don't come in the studio.
Yeah, like when you made
us lose
CBS. When you made us
yeah,
lose
I,
CBS, because you
I'll try to get
you were
CBS records
off.
Back. I know. I'll try to get them back.
No,
but,
no. I will try to get CBS records back. Don't talk to those people.
Okay. All right. Deal. That's a deal. But you don't know who's listening to this show, and I don't know. And King brought up something earlier today about family. Well, apparently somebody was listening to the show back in the day when I first got on the radio. I had a different executive producer, and it was the morning crew, but it was a different morning crew. So apparently she was listening, and we're talking 8 years ago, you know, and she gave me... She gave us a shock, and I go, whoa, you know, and she kind of put down our morning crew,
Brian, do I know this person?
I haven't talked to this woman in 8 years. I haven't talked to this woman. You know, people don't understand that. You know, sometimes they just, I don't talk to, the minimum when I met at Ellen, the minimum was 8 months, I guess, before I would talk to you, or 5 months. I mean, it's a long time if I talk to you at all. Diane, my good executive producer, it was 2 years before, if I got mad at her, before I would even talk to her again, if I talk at all. So it's been 8 years. So she had something to say about our morning crew. And it's like, damn, I don't even remember this person. So when we come back, she took a shot at us.
Do I know this person?
You don't know this person. You came in right after. She had a beef with me and Kelly. She was kicked out the studio. And I thought that was the end of it. I don't even remember until she made a comment. She took a shot at our morning crew. And I didn't even remember who she was. And then what she did was she signed up blogtalkradio.com, and then she followed me. And if you follow me, I could kind of – they tell you to make up a blog talk page, you know. I hate that. That's annoying to me, but people will do it. And then I did see her page, and I go, oh, that motherfucker. 8 years ago, really, and you're still pissed? People hold a grudge. So when we come back, I want to talk about that. Then when we come back, Simone Biles, the Olympic gymnast, who is suffering from mental illness and who gave up her team, and she the whole story. I was pissed when I first heard of it. I was going, bitch, you quit the Olympic team right when they needed you, right there? I mean, you didn't even give them notice in the morning before, but just there you decided to just walk off? I was pissed. But there's more to that I want to talk about. And then the pandemic thing about, I think they lied to us with the people who took the vaccine, and now Pfizer is telling us that Pfizer came up with this thing just now, saying, okay, we need a booster. I'm going, what? The shit is getting really weird. These are things I want to talk about. We'll come back, but when we do come back, somebody in the past took a shot at us in the future and the present. Unbelievable. And believe it or not, she was on, you're not going to believe this, King, you're not going to believe this, she was on the side of one of our former morning crew. She took their side. It's like, bitch, this was not even your fight. Anyway, you never know who's listening. We'll be right back. We have Ellen here, and we have Miss Latia here, and we have the King of Kings, the celebrity hip-hop artist. King Webb is here. Ellen has the number if you'd like to join the conversation. The number is?
The number is 319-527-6099.
Yeah, we'll
be
back.
Is that the same as 3032?
And we'll be back. She took a shot at Joe, by the way, and she took a shot at somebody else, by the way.
Are you serious?
We'll be right back.
Wow.
In 1 minute and 30 seconds.
My thoughts drift back to erect nipple wet dream about Mary Jane Rottencrotch and the great homecoming fuck fantasy. I am so happy that I am alive in one piece and short. I'm in a world of shit, yes, but I am alive and I am not afraid.
Mickey. Well, you know, sometimes you think, and King said it right, sometimes we get close to people throughout the years. In the beginning of the show, it was just regulars calling in. And then somehow it developed into family because we got that close. And it's a place you come in and family talk. And so we start using the word family.
And families fight. They disagree, but we're family at the end because we're a tight-knit group. I was surprised that, and I said, people, you know, if you want to reach me, I'll say it on the radio. Here's how to do it. You go to my page. You can message me. Now people are audio messaging me, you know. I said, okay. And if it's good, I'll put it on the air because they're listening. And that's why I know the audience is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That's one of the ways. Well, here's a person. When I first started, it was over 12 years ago, so it had to be good 11 years, 10 years, the very least, that this person made an ass of herself. She was close, real tight with us, real tight. We could almost call her family. And she acted a fool. Now, she happened to be lesbian and a feminist, and I liked that because she had different views. And she was a really intelligent girl. But she went off on somebody on the show because they said something about a lesbian bitch, and she just went off on them. And she went off for 3 or 4 days, and I lost a lot of people. I said, you got to go. She goes, you're going to treat me like that? I go, you got to go. I'm the only bitch that will stay with you. Without me, you will have no show. I go, you got to go. You know the stuff. You know the stuff. It was wrong. Never talked to her since. Well, apparently she was listening to the show, and I don't know when we were on, last week or something. It doesn't really matter. Here's what she had to say. So she took a shot. She took a shot at me. She took a shot at some of our new morning crew. But she also defended a former morning crewmate, which I thought was shocking. And this is what I thought was like, I don't know who's continuous listening. I have no idea who's listening now. We came on at a different time. I guess we came on at 8 o'clock this morning, whatever time it is on the East Coast. We're usually on an hour earlier. So I have no idea who's listening at this hour. So it's nothing to set up. So the person I'm going to refer to, I have no idea if she's going to be listening because usually our show is on an hour early. This is real deal. Here's the message.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Now, this is real. This is not a, what's wrong? What's wrong, Alex?
I said ding. I said
ding. Oh, yeah, we've got ding. This is real. I think this is probably a month before Ellen came on the show. Kelly Corbin was my executive producer. We had a tight show. We had a lot of, believe it or not, I don't know why, but at that time we had a lot of clergy. A lot of clergy was our morning crew. We had a lot of Baptist clergy was our morning crew.
You're going back to an old show that she was on, right?
No. She was part of the morning crew, so she was there all every day. I can't even. It wasn't just a guest that called in. She was part of us. So again, but we had a lot of clergy who was our morning crew. We had the pastors. We had some pastors. We had some preachers. We had some women who were clergy. So it was that kind of show. But they were not fond of lesbian feminists. So I think she had it. I think she actually had it with them. They would not really say shit to her, but they would kind of put innuendos like, God don't like that shit. And she would be more like Ellen, like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. And fuck you. I'm like, Lydia, calm down. Fuck them. And that's why she went off. And then I'm hearing, oh, my God, I started hearing them, you know, cross themselves and go, ooh, ooh. And then, of course, we had a woman who was a black clergy going, God don't like that, and I don't like that either, you disrespectful bitch. And went off. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
But she was part of us. You know, she was part of us. It's like, know your audience. What's up, Brian? I bet you don't remember who I am. No. This is Lydia. Still don't know. I used to co-host with you. I used to be one of the morning, well, we didn't call it morning crew. I used to be one of the regulars. Okay? Now do you remember me? No. And now, you know, she's having a one part conversation because she's writing me and she's asking me questions. And so she's basically, I go, you're crazy lady. I've been listening to the show and I noticed that you have a different morning crew now. And this letter was recent. And then she mentioned the name. So I hear you got rid of Melissa and you got rid of Joe. They were the big heart of your show, you know, Brian. I mean, you got rid of us, too. Your show is fucked up, man. You haven't learned anything. You get rid of the good people, don't you? It's fucked up. And I know you're not going to reply to me, but I'm just trying to say that, you know, these people, Melissa and Joe, were the heart of your show, and I bet you you fucked them up, too, like you fucked us up. And now we can't come on the show, and I know they're not going to be coming on the show. So you're just fucked up. You're fucked up, and your show is fucked up. Lydia.
Damn.
Yeah. So I guess she's listening. So I can still say she's angry. It's been...
You think?
Yeah, exactly. It's been 10 years. I haven't even thought. There was a person who did the same thing about 2 weeks ago, and I read it, and they mentioned Melissa and Laverne and the old morning crew, and they said, do you think about them? And I said, no, I don't think about Melissa, and I don't think about Laverne at all. And I referred to it, and they said, well, they referred to it like, do you think you ever will have them back on because you were mad at them before? I said, there's a difference of being mad with someone. I could be mad, and they could come on. The Joker. I got mad at the Joker many times. You guys know who the Joker is, and I promise not to say his name. And he quit coming in the studio. You know who I'm talking about. And you guys would even say, man, why are you having him on? He's ruining your sponsors. He's moving this. Because I'm just pissed off at him. If I'm pissed off at you, good chances are I'm going to make up with you because I'm just mad. I'm not just mad at Melissa. I'm not mad at Laverne. And that's why they'll never be on. And you're not going to hear it. I don't think of Melissa. I don't think of Laverne. And in fact, there was a message I have in my Facebook. And I was surprised. I don't know how to clear out my message, my DM. And there is one.
All you have to do, Brian, is go to the message that you want to clear out.
Right. Yeah, you go to that profile thing. Right.
No, put your finger over the name, and then it'll bring up a drop-down box, and it'll say delete.
Okay,
delete
I got to do that.
Conversation.
I got to do that. In fact, I'm going to tell you how long. I mean, we're gonna play a game, but it's not really a game, and I'm being really serious. I'm going to take a guess. How Ellen, and I hope King is here. How long do you think?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, let's play this game. I'm looking at the message of the last time I talked to Laverne and the last time I talked to Melissa. And I'll go with you, Ellen. When was the last time you think I talked to Laverne? How many days ago? How many weeks ago? Whatever. Knowing me, when was the last time? You'll be surprised because I just see this message here.
I don't know. I'd say it's been at least 4 or 5 months.
Okay, you're close. King, what do you think? And I don't even remember. And then you think about it going, damn, it's been, you know, I'm thinking it was like yesterday or a month ago, but I realized when was the last time.
I want to say probably last year, you know.
Really? Well, the last time that I talked to Laverne was 9 weeks ago. So nine weeks is 2.5 months maybe? Yeah, 8, 9. Okay, there's some 2 months and a week. Last time I talked to Laverne. Melissa, it shows here, 10 weeks.
So damn, so that's like 2.5 months.
2.5 months is the last time I even talked to them. And I'm not even thinking at it. And the only reason why I brought it up was that letter that brought it up. I was going, well, damn, when did the last time I talked to these people? And so she hit Melissa and she hit Joe. And I'm saying, so she's listening. Joe, how I look at it this way is people have their own lives. I put on a show the best I can. After the show's over, I have my life. Some people will like to come in, and we did have family. I'll be honest. We did have family. And this one's saying, well, you got rid of us, and you got rid of the heart of your show, Melissa and Joe. I go, I don't know if Joe and Melissa is the heart of the show. How I feel, and I'll just say this because I got a lot of letters regarding Melissa and Laverne. And when I say a lot, maybe two or three. I'm going to put it to you this way. I am not mad at Melissa. I think Melissa's a nice person, but she is not right for me. To somebody else, she may be a great person. And she's funny. Melissa's funny. She's funny as hell. I love her sarcastic sense of humor. But Melissa is not right for me. There are some things in her personality that I cannot take as a human being to be friends with her. I can never be friends with her because I know something in her personality that I cannot be friends with her. Therefore, I don't see her at all as a person, and I do not see her coming back because I'm not mad at her. If I was mad at her, it would be a chance of me making up with her, a chance of her coming back. You know, I was mad at Ellen. You know what I'm saying? She's back. I'm not mad at her anymore. But I was not mad at, I was mad at Melissa before. We got mad at each other, and we were actually mad. We made up. But this time, I don't want it. I don't need Melissa in my life. She did something that I said, this is gone. It's not going to work. I realize who she is, and I don't want that. And I'm not about to change people. I don't have that much time. Laverne, and I'll say this again. Again, I don't know if they're listening because we came on at an hour later. So I don't know if they're listening or not. As far as I know, they got another show. But I'm just saying to some of the listeners, because I even told Laverne and I even told Melissa, and Melissa never believed it. I said, when you're on the show, there's people who get used to you. You're part of the show. You're the morning crew. And there's a lot of people who want to be a morning crew, just like Lydia. She's still pissed off, and it's been 10 years. But people get to know who you are. And as far as Laverne is concerned, I ain't mad at Laverne. I wish I was mad at her, because if I was mad at her, I would make up with her. I would want to talk to her. I would want to make peace with her. I have no interest with Laverne. I got no interest. She's a nice person. She will expand your mind. She'll send you little things, and then it makes you think. She's a really great lady, but she's not right for me. Not right for me. And she said something that really cut her throat with me. And sometimes, you know, if you ever say something that you can never take back and you remember what it is, and no matter, it's like the guy who hits a girl in the mouth or hits her so hard and breaks her jaw, but she may take him back, but she will always remember that this guy hurt her.
Yeah.
It will never be right.
Yep.
Laverne said something to me that can never be taken back.
Mm.
And as soon as she said that to me, it was the end. And I knew it was the end. And she didn't know it. It was the end. I could never, ever talk to her again. She's done. There's nothing wrong with her. She's the greatest person. She's a lovely person. She's a beautiful person, a spiritual person. She'll make you think. But that one thing she said to me, she's done. She will be the 10-year girl. I have no interest of talking to Laverne. I have no interest of communicating with Laverne. I have no interest of putting her back into my life. And I have no interest in putting Melissa back in my life. No interest whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
They're done. They're done. I don't want that in my life anymore. If they're playing a game or they're trying to shock me or they're trying to get mad at me, that they get a response from me, it doesn't even bother me anymore. I don't care. I basically don't care because you said something that I can never forget or forgive. You're gone. So the answer to the callers, yeah, my morning crew will change. We got a great morning crew. Joe probably has his own show somewhere. Joe hardly comes in the studio. The Joker's gone. You know who the Joker is. I won't say his name because he just wants us to fuck up his name. The guy comes in here and just starts trouble and fucks up and trolls. He's gone. We mature, we evolved. I love Columbus Berry coming in there. I even like Sarge coming in. Sarge shakes it up. I met Jadid. Love Jadid coming in here. And these are friends of King, which I love these guys. Latia, come on, you cannot love Latia. Ellen's back. I mean, and again, you just don't know who comes in. And I got a feeling people don't leave this show. There are people that come in this show and I see them. So I guess, we are a family. They are out of the family. It was a place where people could come and to relate to certain stuff, whatever your problems were at home or whatever, how the show helped you, to be among friends. We were family. But you're gone now. I moved on. I'm sorry that's cold. And I gave you an example. I haven't talked to Laverne it says here, 8-9 weeks, and Melissa, 10 weeks. And I didn't even think it was that long. I can go 10 years without talking to Melissa. Melissa's not part of my life. I don't even think about her. They're gone. And what Laverne said to me, she's dead. She is dead to me. And that's what a survivor, when you come from a childhood where you have to survive and everything, you learn to survive. And when you cut people off, that are trying to fuck with you, trying to hurt you, and you learn to actually, well, that's not right. That's not how it works. Yeah, it does. You're gone.
Yep.
And you just got to be careful. King and I got a misunderstanding. We were never mad at each other. We had a misunderstanding. Ellen and I fight. We fight like motherfuckers. But it's a fight. It's a fight. But when you get to a point where I'm not fighting with you. You want me to fight with you. You want me to be mad at me, because then if I'm mad at you, there's a chance of us making up. I'm just mad. And I said, shit. And if I'm not mad at you anymore, it's like, no, I'm not mad at Melissa or Laverne. That's the worst thing for me, because I don't really care. It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with Lydia. And Lydia is done. It's over. I don't know what you did 10 years ago, but I'm still mad at it. And I'll figure out what it is. Apparently, I don't want you around. Apparently, I didn't get in contact with you. Apparently, I don't know what happened, but apparently you done fucked up. And you want to be family again? Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. I don't even remember her, tell you the truth. Yes, I got a new family. I do consider, it's a very close family at that. I do consider Ellen family. I do consider King family.
Uh-oh, Brian, comes on your phone.
Am I in water?
Yep.
Something's wrong. Yep.
All right.
Sure is.
I'll be right back. And then we'll get into our more subjects. Here, all right, Ellen, take over, because I have to redo my... Do you want me to play a song?
Yeah, play a song.
All right, I'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Elder Price, and I would like to share with you the most amazing book. Hello, my name is Elder Grant. It's a book about America a long, long time ago. It has so many awesome parts, you simply won't believe how much this book can change your life. Hello, my name is Elder Green. I would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ. Hello, my name is Elder Young. Hello, did you know that Jesus lived here in the USA? You can read all about it now. Hello, in this nifty book, it's free, no, you don't have to pay.
Hello,
hello, my name is Elder Smith. And can I leave this book with you for you to just peruse?
Hello,
hello,
hello.
I'll just leave it here. It has a lot of information you can really use. Hello.
Hi.
My name is
Jesus Christ.
You have a lovely home.
Hello.
It's an amazing book.
Bonjour.
Hola.
Hey, how?
Hey, I'm an elder wife.
Are these your kids?
This book gives you the secret to eternal life.
Sound good?
Eternal life.
With Jesus Christ.
It's super fun.
Hello.
And if you let us in, we'll show you how it can be done.
No thanks.
For
sure. Oh, well.
Elder Cunningham, that's not how we do it. You're making things up again. Just stick to the approved dialogue. Elder, show it.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is
Elder Cunningham.
And we would like to share with you this book of Jesus Christ.
Hello.
Better now? The phone's better?
Is it yeah.
Better?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All I can say is that the audience changed, family changed, people change, people evolve. I'm honored and blessed to know a person like David. He knows what I'm talking about, David Jr., King. Latia, I'm blessed and honored to know her. Of course, Ellen, I know her for a long time. We got history. And we go on and on and on. I hope you guys that I'm talking to, if you're hearing me, I hope you have a happy life. I wish you no bad luck and no harm. It just was not right for me. All right, here's what we're going to do. You know, here's what's going on. Let's start with everything. Let's start with Simone Biles. Everybody heard the thing. She's the Olympic, Black Olympic athlete, Olympics, gymnast. She decides the team was rooting for her. She says she's not going to do it. She's not going to do it, that she's suffering from mental illness. Here's her speaking out. Mm. You tell me. Here we go.
No, no injury, thankfully, and that's why I took a step back, because I didn't want to do something silly out there and get injured, so I thought it was best if these girls took over and did the rest of the job, which they absolutely did. They're Olympic silver medalists now, and they should be really proud of themselves for how well they did last minute having to go in. And it's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out. But we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case. I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-up, because they've worked way too hard for that. So I just decided that those girls need to go in and do the rest of the competition. Yeah, we're going to take it a day at a time. I know tomorrow that we have a half day, or at least the morning off. So it'll be a good mental rest, and so we'll take it from there.
Struggling with mental health issues?
Yeah, I say put mental health first, because if you don't, then you're not going to enjoy your sport, and you're not going to succeed as much as you want to. So it's okay sometimes to even sit out the big competitions to focus on yourself, because it shows how strong of a competitor and person that you really are, rather than just battle through it. It was definitely something that was unexpected.
What she did was this. Okay. Actually, we're waiting. The USA team was supposed to take the medal, the gymnasts. Okay. They were on the floor. They're ready to go. I mean, her time was up. She did her pole, her horse vault. She didn't do good. But if you slow it down, you can see something's wrong with her eyes. There's just something. She was not there. So she was supposed to go again. We're talking Simone Biles, whatever. She's supposed to go again. The team's there. It's a team sport, right? They need to beat the Russians. At this point, they were up. Even her worst is better than some of the people's best, if you know what I mean, the points. And they were only behind by two at this point. So it's her turn to go again, and she wouldn't go. In fact, basically what she did was she got on. She left on TV. She just left them. She went out. She walked off the mat, and they were going, what the hell's going on? Nobody knew what was going on. And then she came back. The TV camera's still on her, and she started packing her shit, throwing it in there. And then she just says, you know what? You girls go ahead and do it. It's like it's a team sport. And then she started talking, well, I'm 24 years old. I start feeling these aches and pains, and I go, 24? Are you kidding me? So I'm thinking, girl, you just quit the team, of the Olympic team, and you're thinking about you. I mean, when I was in sports on 21, 22, we don't, when you're a rapper or anything, sometimes you don't feel good, but you do your job. You're at the studio. You got to be there on time. We all got to do it. You just can't quit. And then mental illness. And it was funny that all the women, now, if Tom Brady, I mean, how many people in basketball, baseball, whatever, have broken arms and legs and everything, and they're still playing? They play on a cast, their eyes half out, their eyes in their ear, and they put their eye back in their socket, and they go to the court. You get what I'm saying? So then when she says
Hugh Brady, his whole last season, he was playing with a hurt shoulder and his thumb.
Right. Exactly, and a back brace. And we go on and on and on. At 24, that's what you play. I had a bone sticking out of my wrist with blood and everything. And what they did was they wrapped it. It'll heal soon. Get in there. So if women want us to look at them as professional athletes, then you must act that you don't quit a team when the world is looking at you. You don't quit your team. That's what you don't – you do the best you can. You're not being the best as you can. Okay, fine. You don't just say, I'm not going to do it and everything because I got mental illness. Then I started hearing all these women. Oh, it's a mental health. It's an issue. And she's absolutely right and blah, blah, blah. All these women will go, shut the fuck up, bitches. Because if it was a guy, if it was Brady or it was somebody else, it was LeBron James, it was – you women would be saying, what the fuck? We're paying them $1 million. Get your fucking ass in there, you know? But when there's a woman athlete, I'm hearing all this cuddling bullshit. Oh, mental health is an issue, and other actors have an issue. We got to really pertain to the mental. And I'm hearing sportscasters do that, cuddle her. Oh, well, we should be aware of mental health. Bullshit. ESPN, you would have got on LeBron James. You would have tore his ass up if he had a sprain on his ankle and he didn't play. Or can you imagine if LeBron James comes in there going, I'm not going to play for the finals. I mean, they could be in the finals. I'm not going to be in the finals. Why, LeBron James? I'm just not right in my head. I got to go. I got mental illness. Goodbye, y'all. We would tear his ass up. You know what I mean?
Okay. This doesn't have anything to do with mental illness, but you know what? Everybody's on Michael Thomas's case right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because
he waited
until a month before the preseason practice was supposed to start to get his ankle operated on, and now he's going to miss half of the season.
Right. But don't get me wrong. See, that's my first thing. But then I started looking at her, because if you looked at her, they ran a thing, the tape last night. But if you look at her, you're witnessing something very sad on live TV. You're witnessing a person having a nervous breakdown on live TV. And then I had to look deeper. She's having, her eyes are twitching. She's getting the anxieties. She's avoiding eye contact. She's having a nervous breakdown live on TV. And it's sad. It's a human nature thing. It's very sad. And she needs to go home. I know that she came on, she goes, I'm cheering the team up and everything. You need to go home. And she even said it, I'm having a mental issue. She needs to get the fuck out of there. Because I don't want to see her have a nervous breakdown. And that's what she's having right now. She's having a nervous breakdown on live TV. That girl needs to go home. So there you go. But I'm saying, you got 3 minutes, girl. I know your head's not right, and I know you're doing weird tricks that if you're not concentrating, you can really hurt yourself. But that's the game. That's what brought you here in the first place, because you took the risk. You led your team. That's what made you the best. Do your job, and you're doing it for your country. Even if you don't do it well, pull back a little bit. You know. But even when you pull back a little bit, you'll still give enough points and hope from other people to still win that medal, because they're only 2 points behind. You know what I mean? Her worst is better than some of the people's best. And that's why you're a superstar. After that, do your three-minute routine. Get the fuck out. Get your medal. Get the fuck out. She just pulled out of another sport, too. Go home. But don't let your team down. Because 4 years is a long time for – that's these other girls' dreams. You know what I mean? They were on a team with Simone Biles. That's their dream. And the captain of your team quit on you. And you're only 2 points behind. By the way, the U.S. gymnastic team lost the gold. They got silver. The Russian pulled it off. And they won, by the way. And then when she says, well, they got the silver, that's not the point, bitch. With you, they had a chance to get gold. They had a chance to – that would have changed their lives forever. This is what they worked for. This is what all the money, the mortgage of the house, so they could take lessons and everything, to get the sacrifice of everything. They finally made it to the Olympics, and you – and they got the best of the best in the world as their captain, and you quit on them. I don't know what's even more devastating. It's like having Michael Jordan on you. You finally got it. Michael Jordan is on your team, and he's your captain. And then Michael Jordan says, all right, y'all, time for me to go home. What? What's going on, Mike? Mikey got to go. Mikey hit. Not feeling good. But you're Michael Jordan. Yeah, I'm Air Jordan now. I'm going to play. See y'all.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.
I like that. I'm Air Jordan. I'm Air Jordan now.
I'm going to play. And then I want to go on the COVID thing because we only got a couple of minutes. I mean, how do you guys feel about that? Woman and King and Ellen, how do you feel about that? Did you just – I know your head is not right, but you quit your team, man. They're counting on you.
That's really a big disappointment that she just up and right in the middle of everything. She could have waited until the competition was over before she decided to do all of this. Uh-oh.
It's going to be bad for her. It's going to be bad for her, you know. As an athlete, as an ex-OG athlete, whatever you have, as a competitor, because I'm still competitive, you, no matter what happens, I'm sorry for you. You need to help. I understand. But you can't be half crazy in and half crazy out. If you're going for mental illness and you need help, get the fuck out. You're a distraction. You cannot be half crazy and say, well, I'm still going to be here and I'm going to give my support. You're still a distraction and you're taking away the prime spot of your team. Go home if you're suffering from this, right? You've got doctors there. Now, instead of the girls are talking about the Olympics, they're talking about her mental health issues. When these girls have one shot, 18 years old, in the world performing, and they're going to talk to her about her own mental issues. I think it's wrong. Help me out. What do you think, King?
I don't know. It's just hard to say. I mean, I think if you have a mental illness, you should just get professional help, you know. Get professional help before you try to do anything else.
I agree. But do you think right there at the match, King, she didn't call them the day before. She didn't call them the morning before. She decided, okay, I'm done. And you quit your team, man. It's not like it's every season. You got to wait another 4 years before you get your shot again. And you're at your prime at 18, and you're the captain of the team. You represent America. You're the Olympic hero, and you quit. What kind of message is that for a sports person, King?
It's not good, you know.
You work through the pain.
Not good at all.
Right, you work through the pain. The message is, I have mental illness. Let me get this gold so I can get a bigger stage and tell the world that I suffer from this, but I did it. There are people out there with mental illness around. I'm one. I'm a fan. There you go. I got the T-shirt. But you still know that you could do it, and you suffer through it, and you get help, like King says. But it doesn't allow you to quit on your people who need you the most. I would like to use that excuse. Brian, yes. You are fine in the
Water. Pure the water again, Brian. You're underwater again. You're underwater again.
All right. You know what? I'm going to end the show. I wanted to talk about transgender. I wanted to talk about other stuff, but I'm underwater. Tell everybody what you're promoting.
Okay.
And everything
better,
else. And I'll try to I'll try to go out and come back in. And you too, Ellen,
no,
you be the host and ask King, and then you go, okay? And I'll be right back.
Okay. King, promote what you have going on right now. your latest song, your upcoming song.
Well, right now I'm still promoting I Don't Give a Damn, which is my latest single. It's really doing good. I was told just recently yesterday, I was told that the Source magazine, they want to do another article with me. So as far as new music goes, I won't be releasing anything until I move into my new place. After I move into my new place, then I get back to working on some music, you know. Other than that, I am working on getting a book together. And then I'm working on getting some more merchandise as far as shirts and, you know, tops for girls, you know, the tank tops and stuff like that for men and women.
Mm-hmm.
I also have my King Web bars of soaps that's getting ready to be coming out. So I got that going on, and other than that, you know, that's pretty much about it, you know. And if anybody wants to reach me, they can reach me on my Facebook, which is David Portney Jr., aka King Web, or you can go on Instagram and just type in Official King Web. And, you know, you can find me there. Or to make it easier, you can just hashtag Official King Web, and it'll pull up, you know, one of my social media sites and all that, you know. Or you can just come to the Brian Hammer Jackson Radio Show and catch me here. And that's about it.
Cool.
Yes.
<So. laughs> Yep. Well, you're gonna make it big, and I hope you won't forget the little people after you do make it big.
Oh no, I already told Brian, like, right now, it's not really a big secret anymore, you know. I'm actually been talking with I haven't been talking with them, but my publicist has been talking with Atlantic Records, and he has he built a friendship and a connection with the head of A&R at Atlantic Records. And so, you know, we got a few more things we got to do, and then we'll sit down and negotiate a deal. And, you know, but right now, you know, what I would like to do as a part of the deal, I would love to see if we could, you know, not just have this blog talk, but we can have this blog talk, and then we can also have it where we could be on the AM station. You know, I don't know if you know anything about it, but some of the AM stations, they operate differently than the FM stations, you know. And it'd be nice if we can get that, you know, if we can get this on AM station. And if not, mm-hmm. then maybe, you know, if not, maybe we can do it to where we can have this at an actual live studio, kind of like how they got the Breakfast Club, you know, and, you know, and have, like, live filming. But I want to do something to where, you know, this can really, like, take off, because, you know, this show, man, this is the show that it's making me, as well as others. And I want to bring this with me, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, this is like my everyday routine, you know, wake up, get on the show. And then after the show, I get back to whatever I'm doing. And so, you know, I want to bring you with me, you know. And of course, you know, you'll be included, you know. And so, but yeah, there's a lot of things that I'm putting together that I want to do. But whatever deal that I'm giving, you know, it's gonna have to be negotiated. You know what I mean? There's some things that I want to bring with it, and and you know, go from there. But yeah, I definitely won't be forgetting the little people, you know. And like I mentioned before, not a lot of people is going to be with me, you know. It's definitely going to be you, Brian, Latia, and then, you know, everybody else, you know, they got things going on that they're busy with, but I have to work with them on their time, you know. But, so, yeah, it's going to be nice, though. But other than that, you know, new music is going to be on the way pretty soon. I won't mention the title of the song or anything like that, but I am working on new music. I am connected with a new celebrity right now by the name of Devontae Riley. He's the nephew of Teddy Riley and you know, some of the members of Blackstreet. So, you know, it's a lot of great things in the works right now, you know. So, you know, I keep y'all posted as they coming.
Cool.
Yeah, please do. Yes. Please do. Am I a little better here?
Oh, yeah.
Am I a little better?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Just a little bit, really? I'm still underwater?
No.
Well,
not
now. No.
Oh, okay. And I thank you, King. And I know, Ellen, I'm going to get to you right before we end the show because I just want to mention something because that letter brought something up. And I was trying to remember the old guys. Charisse, I think it's been a year year and a half or something since I talked to her?
Sounds like it.
Who else? I mean, some of the guy from Arkansas, I don't even remember his name, used to come in the show all the time and talk about food. I forgot his name.
Mike.
The other guy.
Arkansas Mike.
I'm just thinking the people who came through this studio who were once part of the crew. And I don't even remember. And then he had another friend, another Mike. Mike Bromo used to come in. And there have been so many people, and then who was the guy who used to die seven times and came
what?
Back and
Peter?
Talked about
Peter,
and I know Peter, and I can't remember the name. It's like I have this habit of blocking people. There's been so many people that even you guys remember. Charisse, I'm saying a good 2 years since I talked to that woman. I'm thinking maybe more. But
no,
yeah.
It hasn't been that long. It hasn't been that long, Brian.
So? I don't know.
No.
Okay. All right. But there's a lot of people.
It ain't been that long.
It hasn't? Oh, okay.
No.
There's been a lot of people who are part of our crew, and they go on with their lives, and we go on, and I still have the show, and we'll continue making new friends. And this is what it's about. But they have their lives. I have my life. And I know it's hard when they say it's family. I understand, but sometimes your family, you got to move out. You know what I mean? You got to move out on your own. You know what I mean? You can't still live with each other for years.
No.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, the problem is people get on and they don't understand the word respect when they get on, and they just get on here doing whatever. And of course, you know, their upbringings may be different than yours. And so, you know, they don't know how to maintain it. So they get mad and they want everything their way. And they expect for you to just say, well, you know what? If you don't want me saying hi, then I won't say, they want it to be their way. And so they get on, they just go nuts. You know what I mean? And so, to add on what you said earlier, you know, I feel the same way. You know, I don't have nothing to say to Melissa. I don't have nothing to say to Laverne. You know, I definitely don't have anything to say to Charisse. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And whoever this person is that's talking about the morning crew, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we don't care what you're talking about. We all get on this show to have a good time, to, you know, discuss our whatever opinions that we may have about the topic and to understand each other, you know what I mean? We don't care what you're talking about. So,
that's,
you know, your two cents is not gonna come in this piggy bank because we don't want it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, shit, that's just how I feel about it. And, I mean, that's just that, you know what I mean? I'm going to be honest with you. What makes the show is the different people that come on
That
they
is true.
Take the time to come on. They take the time to respect everybody on the show and mm-hmm. that, you know what I mean? That's what makes the show. And of course, you know, when you do all those things and people are listening, then they're going to be tuned into it. They're like, oh, wow, you know. And it's like, what doesn't make the show is when you have people like the Joker and you have people like Sharice and everybody that get on doing nonsense. You
right.
know what I mean? That's going to make them not want to tune into the show. So, you know.
Right.
That's how I feel about it.
No, you're 100% right. I try to do the best I can. I come on. And hopefully I get a good show. I make friends during the show, and sometimes friendship ends. People go on with it. Like I said, I don't even know who's listening. This woman's been around since 10 years, and I'm going, my God, and you're still holding that grudge. You know, after 10 years, if you're listening, I invite you to come back on and iron out your grievances, because it sounds like you're pissed off at me, you know.
Yep.
Because I did not call you or do not pay attention, I invite you to come back on and air your grievances out with me. She's been there for a while. Come on on. Exactly. You know, and I'm going to give some time to Ellen because she does have a good business called Ellen Gifts and More. I'm going to give some time. But I just want to say one thing. You know, you women, you women, You want to be in the arena with us men. I understand. You think, okay, we're just as equal. I can write my book. My book is good. Fine. But when push comes to shove, we know where you stand.
My book is good.
No, I say your book is good. But I'm just saying women tend to say, I can compete against a man, and I'm just as good as a man, and blah, 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 blah. All right, fine. But when man shit happens to you, you don't know how to handle the man shit. And it pisses me off as other women will ignore what they've been doing to us and they will cuddle you. For instance, there's a person named Kelly Clarkson. She has her own show. Anybody know Kelly Clarkson? You know Kelly Clarkson. She's taken over for
Kelly
Ellen.
Clarkson.
I've heard of her.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she was married, got divorced. The guy that she was married to, his name is Brandon. Now, Brandon went to court. Now, Kelly has to pay him $200,000 a month in spousal and child support. That's what he asked for in court, and the judge awarded him spousal and child support, $200,000 a month.
Damn.
If it was a man, no big deal, right? Here you go, you women. Now, see, when man shit happens to you women, then that's when you start yelling victim and foul. So here's what some of the women say. Alexa says this, never again pay this man. Another woman said this, Kelly Clarkson to pay Brandon Blackstock nearly $200,000 a month in spousal and child support? Screw him. These are women talking. Now, if it was a man, you would not be, and a man, you'd be saying, he better pay that child support. He's a deadbeat dad. Uh-uh, because it's a woman. Here's Franny. This is what she said on Twitter. So when successful men get hit with alimony and child support, he is paying too much, and the chick is a gold digger. But Kelly Clarkson has to shell out more than most of us would make in a year, and her ex-deadbeat husband. Really? Well, I haven't went to divorce or anything, but they usually reward you what your earning is, and like women, it's like, why do I have to pay $1.5 million a year to this bitch? And a judge will say, because this is her lifestyle. This is what she's used to. So we're going to take money from you so she can still stay in her lifestyle. This is how they award child support. That's why I'm going to get married to a crackhead, and she lives in a box on the street. And the judge just says, okay, Brian, $5 a week. I know what I'm doing for spousal support. I'll get her a new box every year, Walmart. I'm thinking ahead. And my dirty crackhead kid, $2.50. Damn, judge! All right. But so when it comes to a woman, so here we go. And here's another woman. Wait. Brandon decided he wanted a divorce from Kelly Clarkson, and now she has to pay him nearly $200,000 a month? His dad did the same shit to Reba McEntire. it is true that an asshole does not fall far from the rotten tree that his dad frequents. Damn, it's a little harsh, ladies. The man went to court. The judge awarded him spousal and child support. And maybe he's an entertainer that he's not working and this is lifestyle. But as soon as a man gets a divorce settlement,
okay,
you're going after him.
Okay, I'd like to know, okay, if Kelly Clarkson is working, why isn't he working?
I don't know, but he went to court, and whatever his thing is, even if he is working, maybe he has a big damn house that he can't afford, and he has the children because she's doing
well,
a late
show.
Know
what? Then he should move out of that house and get into a house that he can't afford.
Ooh, see, now you're acting. Now, you wouldn't say that if it was a man. You would say, get what you can.
Yes, I would.
No, you would not.
Yes, I would.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
Well, you don't think like most people,
Brian,
because most people.
You know me very. You know me damn well. If I don't think something is unfair for either side, I will say something. If I think a woman's being a gold digging bitch slut whore, I will let you know.
Jesus. Okay.
You know damn well I will let you know. I don't sugarcoat anything,
yep.
And I don't care if it's a fucking bitch or nothing. If she's being a bitch and a whore and a slut and a gold digger, I will say so. And I will say so to that bitch's face, too.
Well, there you go. I wish there were more people who thought like you, because here's another person. Here's another woman. Her name is Rachel. She goes, Kelly Clarkson has to pay this grown-ass man $200,000 a month in child support and spousal support, and she has primary custody kid. What the actual fuck is going on with him? Again,
yeah,
another
okay.
woman.
Wait. Okay, she's got primary custody. Why the hell does she have to pay him child support?
Well, maybe they
Unless
have,
they
joint,
have
custody.
Joint custody.
I don't. Well, she said primary.
Well, just,
so
they,
he has.
Yeah, so that means that Kelly Clarkson has the kids most of the time, and he gets to see them every once in a while.
Well, that, well,
so what the
maybe,
fuck
but when he does have the kids.
$200,000 for?
For spousal support.
Spousal support and child support.
Yeah, both.
Okay, why does she have to pay him child support if he only gets if she's got most of the kids most of the time?
Because maybe the kids stay with her part of the time, and maybe she sees the kids on the summertime when she's not shooting. But primarily, and she's a primary. Just because you have the primary custody doesn't mean the kids live with you. She could have primary custody
yeah,
and make
does.
An agreement with him
no,
and says,
kids,
well, I'm doing
no,
my TV show.
The kids have to live with you. The kids have to live with you if you have primary custody.
Well, you know what? Apparently, the kids live with him, too. Just because you're a primary
well,
support,
that's not
she also says.
You know, then that's joint custody. Then that should have been worded as
I
joint custody.
I don't know. But I'm for the judge, and I'm saying stick it to the bitch. You got to pay.
I think the judge is an asshole who just got divorced and got taken for everything that he owns. And he
called the judge an asshole.
He's against all women. I'm sorry. You know, but if they have joint custody, then they both should have been paying child support to each other.
She makes more than him. She just signed a contract for millions of dollars.
Really?
Here's another girl
really?
Called Little Duval. Yeah. It says, somebody just told me Kelly Clarkson's ex-husband dad, it's kind of redundant. Okay. Ex-husband, he's a dad too. Okay. Ex-husband dad did the same thing to his mama.
Oh, no. They're talking about his dad.
Okay, his dad. So what?
S.
So what do you think it's a DNA thing just because his father got a divorce and now see women that's wrong. Just because his dad got a divorce and his dad got custody of the kids and it says he's doing it, that's just how it is and their family, that's just wrong. That's stupid, ignorant talk. You got to remember she went to court. She got and the judge is deciding what's better for the kids and he actually won. What's the big deal?
Yeah,
guys
like
get
I
that
said,
all
like
the
I
time.
Said, I think that,
every guy
I think
going
the judge
to a custody
is an
battle.
Asshole who got taken by his wife. And that's why he's doing that.
Well, that's what women are doing. Yes. Yes, baby. Yes. And so the moral, I can go on and on. So it's like women want to be equal, but when it comes to man shit that hit them, that what man has to do, then they cry like little bitches, and they get that support group. If we could go with Simone Biles, the gymnast, I understand she's suffering the mental illness. If you look at her now, she's having a nervous breakdown. But she's 24, and she talks at 24 like, I'm 24, and I feel the aches and pains. Bitch, you're 24. 24. Are you kidding me? 24 years old, I was playing football and everything. I got aches and pains, too. You're still young. 24, you're still at the age of doing stupid shit. It's not like you're old. But you quit your team. You could have done a routine for 3 freaking minutes. You don't quit. You know how hard it is to make the Olympics? Do you know the sacrifice you had to do? You know the sacrifice for these other girls? They may never get a chance to make that Olympics again. They got a silver medal, good, second place, but they had a chance. And don't say, well, and then I don't like the way she's saying, well, they got their medals and they got a silver. That's not bad. Shut up, bitch. With you, they had a chance to get gold. So you're basically saying, well, that's good for them. And these girls will learn, and these girls will grow. No, you quit on us. No matter what you're going through, when I play sports, there are men right now. Oh, there's a baseball player. Do I have time to go? And his name is Bauer from the Dodgers. Did you guys hear this story? This guy is... Hi, baby. I'll talk to you a story when my girlfriend goes away. Yeah, that's it, girl. Okay, you're looking good this morning. Okay, now let me tell you this story. I know where I have to live. Leave me alone. I don't need to check.
Yeah, you keep it up. You know that box that's that you're right. Talking about for Walmart? That's going to be your address.
I know. I keep it up, and it'll be me and King. King's going to look at me going, well, Brian, you said you're just going to visit for the weekend. You've been here 6 months. I know. Don't you think you should make up with Cindy? Yeah, I'm still mad at her. So what are we going to do now? We mean what we're going to do now. I go, hey, King, don't even worry about, well, you got to pay some bills. Don't even worry about it. My food stamps will be here any day now. King's kids are going, Daddy, we got to get his ass out of here. Come on, kids, we're going out in the backyard to play. Daddy? Oh, man.
Yeah, in the meantime, King, Brian's rolling your kids up in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing with my kids? Oh,
look. I know. Look, we could bounce them off the garage. They're protected. They got bubble wrap. That's my kids.
Yeah, and all you hear is pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, yeah. Daddy, what's Pornhub? What the hell's going on? Well, Uncle Brian, Uncle Brian said he was going to the bathroom and he needed his phone because he's going to watch Pornhub. What's going on, Daddy? Nothing. We got to get him out the house.
Yeah, call the men in the white coat.
Yeah, get out of the bathroom, Mr. Brian. You've been in there for an hour. Leave me alone, kids.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Brian, that would be you.
King's worst nightmare. Why don't you go back on the radio? I don't feel like talking right now. I'm depressed. I got mental illness.
Oh, shit.
I'm gonna be a rapper.
Oh, my gosh. Brian, you know what song I was listening to last night? I was listening
what?
To Freak Elite by Petey Pablo.
Oh, are you really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine King's mother calling King, David, who's this man, Brian, been staying at the house for the last 2 weeks and complaining about you and saying gossip? You know what he's doing. You can't get him out of my house. King go, Brian, what are you doing at Mama's house? Well, I'm in Kansas City now, King. You don't treat me right. Here we go. This guy.
Yeah.
Here's another guy. He had everything in the world. Pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. making millions, getting ready to win the World Series, Trevor Bauer, star player for the Dodgers, pitcher. And what he did, he was arrested. His girlfriend, you will not believe the story. I got the latest, but hopefully they'll go into it. Here we go. Well, basically, he met this girl, a fan. And apparently she was in some freaky-deaky bullshit. She liked to be choked, spit on, urinated on. I mean, some real heavy, rough sex she was into. As a man, he partaked into the freaky-deakiness.
He partook.
So apparently the shit got out of hand. And I think she got hospitalized for shit. She got mad at him. Now, man, I tell you all the time with the pussy trap. You're a star pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. You're messing with this woman who's freaky. And if you decide to leave her, what do you think she's going to do? And she did it, because here it is. The temporary restraining order was executed, which can be obtained without input from the other party. Bauer's side has strongly denied the allegation of sexual assault, calling the interaction between him and the woman holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, there's nothing holy about this. He's going to bring in God. This is his defense. You know, I was with him up until it was all.
That's not what they're talking about, Brian. It means that it's, no, the holy that you're talking about is H-O-L-Y. The W-H-O-L-L-Y means, it means complete.
Oh, I thought it was spiritual. Sorry, God.
No.
You know, Jesus saying, I warned you to quit saying this shit, Brian. I warned you, didn't I? Read the dictionary. Woo. I got things to do. Lives to save.
This God's going to strike you down.
Yeah, but
Here's your holy.
Right. And quit telling your bitches to say my name. I can't even get no sleep. Oh, Jesus, Jesse, what the hell going on in there? I can't get no sleep. All right.
Yeah, quit saying my dad's name, too. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's wrong with you? I'm warning you. I may not forgive you tomorrow. I still love you, though. So he denied the allegations of sexual assault, calling the interaction between him and another woman wholly consensual, and saying in a prior statement that Bauer vehemently denies her account of the two meetings. So the woman said that he choked her, spanked her, did things that really fucked her up the ass, hurt her very much. Well, that hurt his career. The Dodgers suspended him. There's allegation, investigation. Bauer's supposed to come back next week. The Dodgers players said, we don't want him here. They even canceled his bobblehead. He had a bobblehead night. Bauer hasn't been with the Dodgers since initially being placed on leave July 2nd. The Dodgers have canceled Bauer's bobblehead night, which was scheduled for August 19th, have removed all of his merchandise from the team and online service, saying they did not feel it was appropriate given the investigation. Major League Baseball can unilaterally place players on a 7. Meanwhile, he's getting paid, though. So shit has to happen. Now, Bauer, he was a National League Cy Young Award winner as a pitcher. That means you're the best of the best. And he was a member of the Cincinnati Reds, and he joined the Dodgers. You give up your career because some bitch wants you to do stupid shit. Now, I had that. Some bitch go, hey, Brian, can you hit me? I go, hell no. I've been with those bitches. Brian, can you spank me? Okay, I'll give you a little slappy across the booty. No, I want you to hit me with a baseball bat. Hell no. And shove it up in there. Wow. No. No. Can you put a bag on my head and choke me so I can't breathe? I'm not doing a type of nerve sex. No.
Why don't you hit me with a baseball bat and watch my brain go splatter across the wall?
I had this one girl, since we're in podcast, I swear to God, I started smoking. And she goes, and she would be naked. And she would open her legs, goes, can you put your cigarette out in, my pussy? I go, what? Swear to God. Now, I happen to be high at the time, and when you're high, everything sounds cool. You know what I mean? I don't know. This is why people should get off drugs, because it sounds cool, right? Hey, Ryan, you think you could run in front of that train? Hey, you know what? That sounds cool. I never did that before. Oh, I almost got killed. Ooh, that was a rush. Everything sounds cool, right? I was on some shit. So she goes, so when she said, can I use her pussy as an ashtray? I'm going, you know what? I don't have, why not? It's cool.
Oh,
and that's what I did. I would open up the lips and I would smoke my head and then put the ashes in there going, hey, that's a nice little ashtray. She goes, ooh.
Oh, my God.
Then she got to a point, I am not lying. Then got to a point where she goes, can you put the cigarette out in my clit? I'm going, what? And so I said, and I was high. Okay, cool. So I would hit the cigarette with the cherry. I swear to God, I would hit the cigarette. It was the cherry on top. And then I go, are you ready? She goes, yeah. And I went, she goes, she goes, again. I go, damn, you put out my cigarette. I got to light it.
Again, Brian, again.
Exactly. Again. I got to light my cigarette. I mean, I'm wasting more cigarettes because now it's all wet and everything. Shit, I got to get another cigarette. Cost me a lot of money. So bottom line, you got to know when people...
It costs you money.
Exactly. See, and this is advantage, and I don't want to get racial on this. This is advantage where white men can get away with shit and black men can't. Because if you got a bitch who likes to be
It don't sound like Bauer got away with anything.
Well, no, he was a stupid ass. I mean, you are a Cy Young winner. You wound up with a freaky deaky girl, and you're smothering her, and you're analing her, you're biting her, you're scarring her, and then you decide, okay, you know, I'm done with you. I'm going to break up. She's going, wait a minute. You're a Major League Baseball player. You're worth millions of dollars. You can't just break up with me. I'm done. Okay, you're going to done. I'm going to, and you know how women are when you break up with them? I'm going to destroy your career. He goes, go ahead, bitch. Nobody's going to believe you. Hello, newspaper? Yes, I'm Barrows, bitch. Oh, hi, Barrows, bitch. Yeah, he just got done choking me. And then he hit me with a baseball bat. And then he bit my ass. And I got teeth marks. I can show it to you. And next thing you know, he's suspended. And she was the one that says, bite my ass. I like it. Again. You got to stop that shit.
Yeah, every time you do that, Brian, it reminds me of that guy that you said that you had on. Today, Brian, today.
Exactly. You know, there's one time, and I actually did it. You tell me how stupid I am, because I'm up and coming. I'm doing movies and everything. Get this girl. And she goes, Brian, can you hit me with the shoe? I swear. There's some freaking shit. I go, hit you with the shoe. And she goes, yeah, okay. I would have bent over because she didn't like the hand. I was laughing. You know how you spank the ass? She wanted me to hit her with the shoe. I think there's some throwback shit that I don't want to get into. Okay, I'll hit you with the shoe. Again, I'm high going, sounds cool. Because when I'm high, I'll do shit. So I took off the shoe.
Stupid shit, you're high.
Right. I took off my shoe with the big heel. Oh, yeah, you want me to hit you? I take this, bitch. Oh, my God, that feels so good. Big old heel. And then I just went crazy on this shit. It's like, bam, 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 bam. Oh, ooh, 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 ooh. You know what I mean? And then she used to yell, spank me till I come. I go, I don't know when that is, but I'm kicking your ass. And then I got out of control, right? Don't let me have this way. And I don't know what possessed me. Swear to God, I got bored of hitting the ass. I go, can I hit you in the face? She goes, what? And I really did this. So I got a pillow, put it over her head, and then I hit her with the shoe. Her little legs are going, what the hell are you doing? Bam, bam, bam. Stop it. I thought we were shoey. I didn't know. There was a limit to it. I didn't know the rules. Oh, man. You got to be careful with the freaky shit. I can see King right now, his album dropping, and he's going to get his award, and there's going to be some bitch in the audience going, that's a mofo who put those, didn't he put those shocker cables on my nipples? Look, I got no nipple now. You know, he said he was going to jump the car, and he said, bitch, look at this. And he shocked my knee. I got no left nipple. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. King could be saying, be high and go, cool. I don't know. What are you doing, King? I'm shocking her nipples. I'm hooking her up to my car. You got to be careful.
Oh, my God.
Right, Latia? There are some girls who love some freaky shit. And if they think that you're making some money.
Brian, here's some freaky ass shit. Isn't that the motherfucker that stuck the jumper cable up my ass?
Exactly. I don't know what he's doing. Is the judge going, he did what? Hey, I was high, judge. It seemed like a good idea. What was a good idea of putting a jumper cable up her ass and start your car? I had no idea. Can you just send some me to rehab and I learn my lesson? I don't know. I mean, this attempted murder charge, I don't think I deserve it. But there are some people.
Second degree murder.
I'm not kidding you. There's girls that wanted their hair pulled. There's girls who wanted to be spanked. There's some freaky ass shit. And if you're on your way up and you're going to be making some money, that's blackmail shit. That's blackmail shit.
Well, then you know what? I guess I better stop partaking in freaky deaky sex, because when my book comes out, there might be some guy.
Right. Well, you're right, because King, this is true, and Latia, this is true. Innocent me, let's call him Brian, me. I go to Louisiana.
Oh.
I make my appearance. I do the worst stand-up in the world. I got an ovation. Thank you. I'm in the lobby. I'm now signing stuff, picking pictures with stuff. And Ellen's with this woman, and I see Ellen to the side. You heard this story before, but it needs to be repeated. So I'm looking at Ellen, and she's smiling, and she's having this conversation with this big-ass blonde. And she's having this intense conversation. And I kind of look over there. I'm going, what the hell's going on with Ellen? And Ellen, what did the woman want me to do? What did the woman say to you?
She said, I would suck his dick.
I would suck his dick. King, you hear that? She doesn't even know my dick, but she wants to suck it. She didn't even say hello to me. She already has me in her mouth and going to town. Now, see the shit there? I could have got, next thing you know, I could have done the radio show, and she goes, she could be coming on. I don't know who she is. You put your dick in my mouth. Don't you remember me? No, I don't. I put my dick in a lot of people's mouth. Be more pathetic, women. But again, it's black. No. You got to be careful with women who love. You got to get a woman like Latia. And Latia sounds to me that she knows about freak, but she's not really into freak. She doesn't even drink, right? I mean, I would think Latia going, if you ask her to do something, I would think Latia would think about it and going, seriously? You want me to do what? Come on. You really want me to do what? I don't think she would do it. Latia, would you do freaky shit if you were in love? You do, you know what I mean? I don't think you would. You would have to put something in her drink. She goes, what was that? I don't know. What was it that you asked me? Never mind. Anyway, that's the end of the show. The moral of the story is, be careful who you're with. I mean, this guy, a Dodger, millions of dollars. He got with a freak. He broke up with a freak. The freak called the newspaper and said, this man did this to me, and he sexually assaulted me. And he's saying, that bitch, it was consensual. And they're not going to believe him. And it was consensual. He says, I even have the text messages of her saying, next time when you come over, I want you to pour wax down my pussy, and then I want you to spank it. She had text messages saying how freaky she was, and guess what? The women are on him. That's sexual assault. That is the sexual assault. And it's ruining his career.
You know what?
You gotta
be
careful.
That's one of those gold-digging bitches. If she got in front of my face, I'd be telling her, you know what? You're nothing but a gold-digging bitch whore.
It doesn't matter. She can call the newspaper. you know, you king, okay, you go ahead. And I'm going to tell him that you did this, and she wanted to do this because she says, you know, I could suck your balls. King goes, I haven't had balls sucking in a year. Okay, go ahead. And then next thing you know, King's not doing anything. He's on stage. He goes, he put his balls in my mouth. Bitch, you liked it. I don't like your balls in my mouth. I was going to give you a head. Instead of you putting your head, you put your balls in my mouth. But you know the difference, nigga. Put your dick in my mouth, not my balls. And next thing you know, it's going to ruin his career. That man was balling. He balls the chicks. Got to be careful.
He was teabagging the chicks.
He was teabagging. He don't drink no coffee. The man's in the teabags. That'll be your record label. Teabagging. Records. You gotta be careful, man. You gotta be careful. That's it on our show. And now, Ellen Gift. That segment was brought to you by Ellen's Gift and More. And here you go, Miss Ellen Johnson.
Yep. Yeah, like Brian was saying, I do have an online shop. It's called Ellen's Gifts and More. And I am also into direct sales with a slew of different businesses. This week, I'm offering a free sample of Java Mama Coffee. All you have to do is listen to the show and message me with your mailing address, and I will send you out a free sample of Java Mama Coffee so that you can try it before you buy it. I also have Steep Tea, which, you know, that's all they are is just teas, matcha, oolong, fruit teas. That's all they are. And you can cook with tea, so, you know, not just drink it. There's plenty of recipes on my site that you can try out to find which tea is good for you, that you like the best. I have jewelry. I have makeup. I have pampering items. I'm like perfectly posh. And I'm also a published author. Like I was saying earlier, my books are going to be out in the next few months. So I'm in the middle of rewriting them, and then they're going to be sent to the editor and the cover designer, and they will be out by the end of the year. So if you're into lust and obsession and murder and freaky deaky sex like we were talking out,
oh,
then you need to get my books.
I'll get your book. That's the way to sell it.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, I want everybody to know what they're about so that they don't open the book and have a coronary right there on the first page.
But you know what? If you ever want to see the inside of Ellen's mind and really how freaky she is, get her book. She has some good stories in there. But you get a little bit of insight, like, damn. It's a good book.
Yeah.
What's the name of your book again?
And then you sit there. Well, okay, there's four of them that are going to be re-released. The first three of my Real or Fantasy series, Sweet Surrender, Sweet Surrender 2, Come Undone, and the first book in my Playing with Fire trilogy, which is the title, Playing with Fire. Those are the four books that are going to be released at the same time. And then I have the last two of my Playing with Fire trilogy going to be coming out next year after I get these four done. But, I mean, you know, you can't – things aren't going to be happening on the first page. You know, I just want people to wonder, did this really happen to this woman? Did this really happen to these two?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but see, I'm kind of afraid that one of the main characters, I don't want them to look at him and think, okay, did he murder his wife?
Right.
You know, because
I think he did.
He did not. He did not. We are not going to go there.
Yeah, okay. We're going to go there.
No, we're not.
I want them to buy the book. They'll know he did. You can say all you want to because you like him. You're a little freaky deaky. I think he's a murderer.
Yeah,
get the book.
Well,
you guys.
You know what? In the book, you find out that he was being stalked by this crazy woman who thought that he was going to get divorced from his wife and she was going to get with him.
This is an autobiography, by the way.
It is not an autobiography.
The stuff in that book the stuff in that book is really true. You get the book, you guys will like it. Oh, by the way, before we go ahead, Ellen. Go ahead and pitch and tell people
about
the book.
The stuff in the book is not true. The stuff did not really happen.
It is true. Okay. Yeah, it really did.
Brian, shut up. It is not.
I was witness to some of the shit.
Really? Really? You were witness to it?
I don't know. We're going to, but no, get the book. You guys are going to love the book and everything. And Ellen, did you pitch it, everything you needed to pitch? I just want to add one thing before we leave.
Nope.
You guys are not going to believe. You're not going to believe this. Then I got to go. I promised Cindy I have to do things, and she's waiting on me. I say things on a show and everything, and some things are serious, some things are not. Sometimes I'll do really serious stories. I got a legal letter that's telling me to cease and desist that I'm going to get sued if I keep giving misinformation about Donald Trump. There's a lawyer out there, and he's on Twitter. Yeah, I know. He's following me on Twitter. And he says, because I would give information that I call Donald Trump a con artist and this and this and this. So he says, you better stop saying this or we're going to sue you. He's from a real law firm. He put on notice that I could get sued for giving misinformation. Now, he says, you have a choice to not talk about this anymore and respect the cease and desist letter, or we're going to sue your ass. Well, you know, here's what I saw. I know he might be listening because we're still live on TuneIn, and we're still live on Stitcher and Apple Tunes and whatever. And I got a feeling he's listening on Stitcher, not on Blog Talk. I really do. So it's live right now. So I'm going to send him my own message. So he's telling me not to talk about Donald Trump or express my opinion because I'm considered media. Because I'm on the air. If I call anybody live, I have to identify myself as media. I'm on the radio. So he wants to sue me if I say any wrong information about Donald Trump. So here's my answer. And he says, I'll be listening. If you say anything, I'm going to sue you. And I think, you're going to intimidate me? Well, here's my lawyer talking to you. And I hope you're listening. Here's my answer to you. And this is my lawyer talking to you.
Fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
I will not be censored.
He can't censor you because it's going against your rights.
A whole show.
Constitutional right for free speech. Blech.
Remember,
know what? I hope he's listening right now. Donald Trump is nothing but a fuckhead asshole.
I know. Yes, King, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, and if he's listening, he better be careful before it backfires on him and he gets sued.
Right. Right.
You know, I mean, because the thing is, he doesn't have any evidence that shows where anything that you've said is false or whatever. And what he don't want to do is get himself in trouble to where he gets sued, you know what I mean? For twice as much as what he's trying to sue you for. So, you know, if you're listening, hey, look, man, King Webb just want to tell you, go fuck yourself and leave us alone.
Yeah, okay, this must be some lawyer that's been living under a rock for the last 10 or 15 years because it's out there that Donald Trump has been sued. It's public knowledge.
I know. You never know who's listening. And this is not the first time. Ellen was here. Blog Talk came down on me, and they tried to censor our show. Remember? They're saying, we don't allow foul language. Remember this, Ellen? We don't allow foul language.
Oh, wow.
You cannot talk about you cannot curse. You cannot talk about controversial shit. You cannot do this and this. And I'm going, that's my whole show. Remember what I told them?
Yep.
Wow.
I don't. I said, okay, what the fuck are they trying to do? That's the whole entire show, you know. And
exactly.
I've heard people say worse on there.
They try to shut us down, but we didn't do it. I think this is another.
What's up, y'all? It's your boy Futuristic with my bro Devon Terrell. Today we are going to be covering Justin Bieber's Love Yourself, except we don't play guitars, so we don't need these.
I don't know what the hell that was. All right. So anyway, Doyer.
Okay.
I have no idea what's going on here. So I'm just going to answer that, lawyer. And, lawyer, I'll say it again just because you didn't hear it. Here you go.
Fuckface. First, take a big step back and literally fuck your own face.
There you go. Thank you, Tom. I want to thank Mr. King Webb. Thank you, sir, for coming in. I don't give a damn, and don't get caught on my whip. His new stuff is coming out pretty soon. Treat him like a star because he is one. I want to thank Latia. I love hearing her open up today, and she gave us some knowledge about what it's like being a grown-ass person, and then some people want respect, but they're not willing to give it to you, and it's kind of hard to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to thank her for talking about, you know, her experience with that and what she's going through. Thank you, Latia. You're beautiful. And I always love and smile when I see you come on the show, and thank you, Mr. King Webb, for inviting Latia on the show. And she's been a great inspiration.
You're welcome.
In addition, thank you, sir. And Ellen, I want to thank you for coming on the show. You have a lot of things you want to do. I know this show is your home, and thank you for coming in. And it's always fun to hear your opinion, and your humble and shyness is always thrills me. Thank you, Ellen Johnson. And don't forget to support Ellen.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'm in the middle of – Brian, do you realize that it is a couple of weeks until Aaron – has to go to LSU.
Her little girl's going to LSU. I know. It's going to be a hard one. But she's going to be good.
Congratulations.
I know,
thank
really.
You.
Congratulations.
For her mother, congratulations.
You're very welcome.
You did good. LSU, baby. What is LSU? Are they Tigers? Is it LSU Tigers? I'm not quite sure.
LSU Tigers. Yep.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. That's it for the show, everybody. Hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. If not, always go to blogtalk.com/BrianTheHammerJackson and you can follow the show. I'll be in your email when we come on. But I'll see you again I'll see you again tomorrow. And King, you got your friends and your family is always here. So you got your support always here. All right.
I appreciate that a lot. All right,
anytime,
everybody. Tomorrow.
Bye guys. See you tomorrow. Bye Latia and Ellen.
So I came to see him. To listen for a while, and there he was, this young one, stranger to my eyes, drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with this song. But he just kept riding.